Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 196. You trying to point out that I didn't turn off the music? Is that what you're, why you're bopping?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I just do little things sometimes to see if me doing something for no reason will cause you to lose your stuff.
I think Ryan was, Sergeant was the first to do that with the breathing. Huh?
Yeah.
Guys. He breathed, and Colin was like, stop that.
I hate you.
It works almost every time.
What, breathing?
Just him, he can't keep it together.
Yeah, you don't have to really say anything.
Just... Well, you know, my job is not based on my ability to keep it together.
Okay, so you're not a bomb technician.
I'm not a bomb technician. I'm not a newscaster.
SWAT guy.
Gonna make me swear. Adam.
What? I didn't do anything.
Well, now they know that Adam's here.
But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Okay.
But you knew that.
Crew.
I'm stuffing boards into bags because I said, you know what?
I'm going to
make use of my 2+ hours sitting at this table for your enjoyment.
It's a superpower. So.
The problem is the current bags aren't fitting the current boards.
Yeah, I just got new bags and boards, and they're not matching up nicely.
I almost bought bags and boards. I'm glad I didn't.
I'm very sorry.
Oh, I buy the resealable ones. Those are always golden.
Those are
They should be for the premium.
It's like $1 more, actually.
Yeah, it is.
That's still a premium.
Oh, because you hide them. Yeah,
I don't hide them. You're too lazy to make the change.
This bag, like this bag.
But I appreciate it.
See, I'm all about keeping everybody happy.
You give me a hard time about it every single time.
Well, of course. I give everybody a hard time on everything. You should know that by now.
That's true.
Pat's sitting here wearing a Flyers shirt. Come on now.
Yeah.
It's a Batman Flyers shirt.
That makes it worse.
Makes it okay.
No. It's insulting to Batman.
Yeah, it ruins Batman.
Yeah.
Although, I have to say...
Nothing can ruin Batman.
I have to say, if Gotham were a real city, I think Philadelphia is as close to it as you can get.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I will give
Gotham?
You
Gotham, yeah.
Yeah, I can't argue against that.
So, maybe it makes sense.
Okay, we'll give you that. Good point. Point made.
Yeah.
That poor robot.
Man, you still will not give up on that, will you?
There's a new one that is dressed like Batman. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I guess they have a new one that they...
I'll bet you this one avoids Philly.
I think it's called... If it's called Batbot, that would be funny.
But I bet someone who picks it up... We'll take it to Philly on purpose to see what happens.
Nobody's gonna mess with a Batman robot.
Philly would.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they, you know.
I've seen two crackheads.
I mean, it's his city, though.
I've seen two crackheads bite in the
Bat
street.
Gordon's getting messed with right and left, and he's a robot.
That's true.
Kinda.
Yeah.
No, Rookie is.
Yeah.
Well,
let's just say nobody survives Philadelphia. Not even robots. Pat does.
I left.
He left.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I'm done. I gotta get out of here. Before I end up like that robot.
Hey, Pat.
Yeah.
Is there any news about robots?
Not about robots.
No. Well, do you have any other news?
I do. a couple things.
Great segue.
Yeah. I did what I could. I had to stop it.
Yeah.
Adam and his robots is getting old.
There's
did you read Vision? You should read Vision. It's all about robots.
I read the preview.
I heard it's good.
Okay, so DC announced new creative teams for Teen Titans, Suicide Squad, and Aquaman, but the way I kind of read it is the one for Aquaman is temporary.
Temporary, because they...
Who was it on Aquaman?
Dan Abnett and...
I was excited about
Vincent
that one. I like Abnett.
Yeah.
Well, but it's still supposed
they
to go
still,
to John.
But they still
but it's the wording.
Explicitly come out and said that he is taking over Aquaman. It's he's doing the Aquaman story, but it could be part of Justice League, as far as we know.
Okay. I don't know. The way they wrote it was so confusing. It made it sound like
he said
the Abnett thing was temporary.
He said he's getting the team back together, but it could just be that he's going to be on art for Justice League for a little bit. I don't know.
It could be. But Tim Seeley and Juan Ferrer are going to do Suicide Squad.
Love this creative team. I never thought I'd be picking up a Suicide Squad book. I'll pick up that and see how it goes because I love those guys.
And Greg Pak and Noel Rodriguez are going to be doing Teen Titans.
Okay.
I guess Frank Miller was talking about wanting to do another Dark Knight after...
Yeah, man, this is getting weird now. Yeah. Every time he opens up his mouth about this, because now a friend of mine went to Comic-Con and said that during the panel, Frank Miller made a lot of comments, made it sound like he wasn't really as involved in this DK3 as it's been made out to be. But I really kind of dismissed it. Now, in this most recent interview, he comes out and says, like, that Azzarello's doing his own thing now, and that he, after reading the whole thing, is going to do a Dark Knight 4 as the end to the series. He really makes it sound like this story is Azzarello's story, and that Azzarello is writing it, and that Frank Miller is barely involved.
Well...
So wait, there's talk that there could be a fourth.
There's going to be a fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't they say on the poster? Doesn't it say final chapter?
Yes.
Yeah. Epic conclusion to the Dark Knight Returns trilogy.
Well, yes it would does. Be, yes, that would be a conclusion. But didn't you ever see, like, Friday the 13th 5, the final chapter, and then, you know,
yeah, but look
the whole
how,
Jason
that's not a good back. Example. Look how that went.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's saying that he's saying that Azrael is doing his own thing with this one, and that after reading through the entire thing, he decided he's going to do a fourth solo.
Frank Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he realize
called,
that that's up to DC,
Holy,
not him?
Holy Terror 2.
Oh, yeah, that's what it'll do. All right.
And on
but
top
that
of that...
Well. Now, here's the weird one. He's looking at doing a Carrie Kelly series in the style of, like, the Nancy Drew mysteries.
For kids. Frank Miller...
For kids.
A kid's on book. A Carrie Kelly kids book. That's terrifying. Terrifying.
The mutant leader has to be in it with the sharpened teeth
That'd
and everything.
Be awesome.
That would be. The slices and dicers.
Did you see the Wonder Woman picture or drawing he did? For
there wasn't much to
the,
it.
The
yeah.
Brazilian Comic Con. It's awful. I like
no,
Frank Miller's art. That thing was awful.
I think it's just his age.
No,
his age
this
so
was.
Much, but
did
I
you
just
see
don't
it?
Think he's doing very well. At
did
all.
You see it?
I just saw.
Adam?
I just saw when it was looked like it was her back.
I'm gonna show you, Adam. What are you guys talking
well,
about?
That's good TV. That's good. Good
I
radio.
Said while you guys
yeah.
talk, I'm gonna show Adam.
Okay.
And now he's looking, searching.
Next thing I got was and I okay. So we have all the new Marvel ones coming out. And one yes. of the ones coming out in December is Squadron Supreme.
Yes.
And they announced a major death and went one step further of even telling you who it is.
Is it Hyperion? Classy.
No, it's not Hyperion. It's Namor.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Didn't Which, he already die in New Avengers leading up to Secret Invasion or Secret War?
I don't know because he was in Secret Wars. So.
This will be an all-new, all-different death.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Did you see the picture that was involved in that where he's, like, laying back? I think it might be, like, I don't know if it's a cover or what. It looked really weird.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Like, his eye was, like, weird or something. I don't...
It, yeah.
So who cares exactly?
The only thing I care about...
He wants to see the Namor down.
Well, no, but why would you announce 3 weeks before the book comes out
that
and just give it away.
Yeah. Well, but it's probably not even dying in issue one.
Well, no, that's what they said. It was in
oh,
issue
was
one.
Okay.
So,
because like before Iron Man ship, they make that big announcement of Mary Jane joining him in issue four.
Right, but here's the thing. So they announced that now we're 3 weeks out. So now I tell you, you know what? I don't want to read this book. You're before FOC. You can cut your orders now.
Yeah.
I would think they were.
I don't know if that was going to affect. I mean,
no,
it's not going to affect the giant order I placed.
Yeah, but what about all the Namor fans? Who are like, you know what? I'm
Adam
done.
Adam recognized the sarcasm. All the Namor fans.
I saw.
Well, if both of the Namor fans.
Yeah, it's a little off, especially the arms. The arms
you
are.
You
just
never
a
know.
Little
I think I saw a cropped version of that.
The arms are way off.
Like how?
Yeah.
Let me see. No, I hadn't seen that, and that's...
I like Frank Miller's art. I like his style.
I mean,
but,
it had potential
thing,
to be really nice. And
this thing
did.
Looks awful.
Like, yeah. The stuff is very misshapen. Almost
this,
very...
This looks like a
Rob
snapshot
Liefeld,
from
Captain
a drag
America.
Show.
Misshapen.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
What, or Rob Liefeld and Captain America
no,
misshapen?
No, a drag
oh,
show.
Oh, I was going to say, not that there's anything
there's
wrong.
There's plenty wrong
Adam,
with Rob
Adam,
Liefeld.
Adam likes drag shows.
And drag racing?
Drag shows.
Yeah, like a drag racing show?
Moving on.
Maybe they run. I don't know.
Yeah, but that Namor thing, it's just like, I think anybody who's gotten too close to the Fantastic Four is just going to be killed off. No, I think that's really what this is all about.
Black Panther,
but
you're
Doom's
next.
Fine.
Doom's okay.
They no, can't, Black Panther has a movie coming.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He didn't like him either. So.
They can't kill him off. IDW announced they're going to do a crossover series, G.I. Joe and Street Fighter.
What?
Yeah.
I can see that crossover like
finish
working seamlessly.
Him.
Well, no, but they actually
nah,
did,
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
Mortal
Kombat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They actually
you
did
have to leave.
That back in the, I guess in the early 90s when Street Fighter 2 came out, there were Street Fighter 2 G.I. Joe guys. Like, you can get an M. Bison guy to, you know, fight Snake Eyes and all that. So that I just thought that was kind of a
like take out Duke, like I'm just saying he can't really fight back.
I would think Ryu and Ken would both be on the Joe side.
That's true.
And they were the ones that,
well,
that
what
did
if
that.
What if
okay
one is with the Joes and one is with Cobra?
No, they were both pretty much good guys.
You know,
it would be Vega and Bison.
Yeah.
Balrog.
I'm just saying
there was one other.
I could see Bison going and joining up with
Cobra
Commander.
Ken could be kind of shady. I could see Ken going that way. Ken seems a little slimy sometimes.
Yeah.
Like an Eric Roberts type.
Yeah. And anyone seen Best of the Best knows.
Hell
what?
Yeah.
I love that movie, though.
Man, I love Best of the Best.
Yeah.
Man, I love those.
The first one. The second one, I
Chris
like
Penn.
It. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, his martial arts skills were.
You just mentioned that makes me want to marathon them now.
I just watched the first one. Couldn't have been more like 2 months
man,
ago.
I remember as a kid, like, and I discovered that movie on TV. I was like enamored with it for some reason.
James
I
Earl Jones.
That.
And,
yeah, man, that was such a good movie. Such a good. Was it 80s?
Yeah, it was
80s,
definitely an
80s
movie.
Martial arts,
best of the best.
It is like a pure classic 80s martial arts movie in the same vein as like Bloodsport.
But what they did is instead of getting actual like a bunch of martial artists, they had one.
But the actors they had,
they were good actors.
They did a good job. At
right. But like you don't think of Eric Roberts as like some super ninja master, but he was one of the main characters. And
yeah.
Chris Penn, and his was like
Chris
a brawling
Penn.
Style.
Chris Penn was in this movie?
Yes.
Yeah. And not like a fit Chris Penn or anything.
No. He was
yeah.
big.
Yeah.
Like, he looked just like he did in Reservoir Dogs. I mean, he was.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, run the same time frame.
Huh.
So, yeah, that was it was different. Anyway.
Wow.
Something else that I saw on the. And I guess we'll see this next week when the previews comes out, but there's going to be a Hush coloring book.
Is it a full coloring book, or is it just a Hush page?
No, it's a coloring
book.
Well,
it might
book.
Be an edition of Hush.
Yeah, it's an edition
coloring.
Of Hush.
Didn't DC say they're releasing, like, adult
yep.
coloring books?
Their
now?
Covers.
That's,
just the covers.
Well, no.
The covers, but I heard someone saying...
That's what Hush is. It's an adult coloring book.
Yeah, I heard someone recently, some companies releasing actual adult... Maybe it's Crayola is coming out with actual adult coloring books.
Okay.
I heard,
no, Zenoscope.
I heard something online about Michael's, the arts and crafts store.
That's
doing
like
this.
A big deal now, is these coloring books for...
Adults.
For adults, because there's a whole...
Yeah, what's the point
Noble,
of this?
They have, like, a whole...
Let me ask you
guys. Coloring is fun.
When is the last time either of you picked up a crayon and colored?
No, so you do it with colored
pencils. Color
pencils.
Well, either way, regardless, when's the last time either of you picked up a colored pencil or a crayon and colored something?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I have been at a restaurant with Adele, where she has had crayons, and we're waiting for food. Like, I'll grab a crayon and join in with her. It's kind of fun, and
yeah.
a little bit cathartic.
Yeah, I think that's the
like,
bigger
that's,
thing.
That's,
yeah,
that's,
to sit there like kind of color for a little
yeah.
bit, and
yeah,
yeah.
You end up getting into it. So.
My wife works like a very she
so
she works on the phone and she colors in between calls.
The lines, Josh.
Well, of course, I'm not
but you can't like make Batman have a red suit or anything like that.
It's Christmas Batman.
We want anybody
yeah.
thinking outside
yeah,
the box.
No.
Nobody can think
that's apocalypse camo Batman.
Did anybody learn anything from the Lego movie?
Color I mean, outside the box.
Batman only works in black and very dark gray.
What about blue?
Yeah.
No
pink Batman.
He used blue.
Yeah, he's been in all the colors.
No, he was very clear in the Lego movie.
But...
He only works in black.
Which is funny
and very
because
dark
Lego
gray.
Has an Arctic version of him wearing a very white suit.
I've seen him wear blue.
Yes. If you ever played the Lego Batman
right
movie.
Over
or,
there
yeah, Lego
blue.
Batman.
We're shooting a lot of holes in your thing here then. Even Lego can't stand by what they're saying.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey.
That action figure, he's wearing blue.
The blue gloves, yeah.
No, it's not Cal is blue.
Anyway.
There's a yellow one in there with a surfboard.
That's Batman 66.
Doesn't matter. Batman
he was Batman. No, he was wearing yellow trunks. That's different.
Are we still on news?
I apologize.
Yes. Okay. The only other thing I got was they announced that Agent Carter's going to come back on January 5th.
That's about time.
Yeah, there was a trailer for it during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night.
I watched iZombie, so I didn't see
it. I wish they'd get it on Netflix, because they're taking a long time to do that. I wanted to catch up.
There were Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
And I can't find it to watch anywhere. It might be on demand.
It might be on ABC on demand or whatever. But I would assume it would get on Netflix here sooner.
Usually they wait
later.
Till has the DVD come out?
Yeah, DVD came
out. So usually they wait a little bit, do the DVD sales, then they bring it out.
Well, I heard
it's been out for a while.
The DC is going to stop doing Netflix with their shows.
Yeah, they said something weird.
It was not that they were going to stop doing it altogether, but they were going to make it take a while.
Promote traditional cable first because I guess they get more from that.
So instead of waiting like a year, you would get it, you know, 2 years later.
I don't see them doing that. But.
They sent the head
of DC TV, I think.
They said, I'm not going to let Colin McMahon tell me what to do.
No, but I'm saying it would be silly not to have season one available at the start of season two.
Yeah.
Well, since the only new show that'll be on season one at this point will be Legends of Tomorrow.
Supergirl.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That did just start. Which, I don't know if you guys noticed, they skipped an episode.
Well, they're skipping this week's episode.
Yeah. Right. Well, no, they did, and I'm glad they did, because the one they showed kind of got more involved in the plot and was less set up.
Good.
It was actually a pretty decent episode.
I liked the first two.
No, I did. It's not that I didn't like
I
want to
know
two.
Who Hank Henshaw is.
I think
Cyborg Superman.
Right, but no, but I'm saying, or it kind of would make sense if he's Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
Those glowy red eyes. That's what got me thinking. Why would his eyes glow if he was Cyborg Superman?
Like all cyborgs have glowing red
eyes.
Did you ever see Terminator?
Yep.
Exactly.
Jeez.
Just because he's not wearing crazy sunglasses.
Okay. Yeah.
Get with it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was a dead giveaway when he went to, you know, Supergirl. Was like, I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Yeah.
That's a very conservative cover.
Anyway, that's all I got for news, Colin.
That's it. No, I gave you
and
one more.
That's the news.
He gave you one more and you skipped it?
Yeah. You're talking about the JLA thing?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to rant on that.
Oh, I wasn't going to rant on it. It was just something that it came through in my DC email today.
Oh, that was the timing thing you wanted to talk about?
I thought you were going to talk about that during your little editorial.
Yeah, we'll switch over to
Colin's
editorials.
Well, not timing. No, no.
We like having Colin.
It's a segment.
Everyone enjoys Colin's editorials.
Colin's editorials.
Yeah, except for Marvel.
That's true,
because
it needs a better name.
Don't do much.
It needs a better name than Colin's editorials.
Deep thoughts.
Can we give out
Colin's
a prize or something
thoughts.
If people
there,
submit
yeah.
names for Colin's editorials?
Sure,
section?
Sure.
Oh, what kind of prize can we give out?
You can have...
I was expecting to say yes.
You can have a PAL box.
I'm sure there's like a crappy poster somewhere.
Nice, Adam. You think I'd give away crappy stuff?
Yeah.
An 8x10
No, you'd sell it.
I'll give you a signed
you
Sabrina
sign.
Comic.
Ooh.
Yes.
Signed? By whom?
Me.
By Comics. Pittsburgh Comics is on the floor.
You weren't shopping here when my Godzilla comic came out, and I had a signing. And it was me behind the table signing.
I want to get a copy of it.
There's probably 300 of them still down in the basement.
They're down.
Did we ever,
somebody,
oh, I think we did. Oh, I think we did open that one case.
I was trying to keep them aside.
Actually,
you
know what? No, you might have gotten rid of the last of them, the free comic book.
No,
day.
We didn't put them all
out.
Oh, okay.
No, I wouldn't put them all
before
out.
We get off topic.
Yes.
Are we for real going to do a little contest for a name of your editorial section?
Sure.
All right. Well, what do we want to give out?
I don't know. You can't jump me with that. I have no idea.
I'm sorry. I can't.
Who said deep thoughts?
I can't decide when the mood's going to strike me.
Okay, we got Collins. Collins Deep Thoughts.
By Jack Handy.
You know what
I
really
forgot
grinds
about
my
that.
Gears?
That's what
that's where I came up with the name.
I
come
know.
On now.
Not a contest for us.
I know.
Clowns.
No, we're throwing.
You don't get a prize, Adam.
What are they going to? I thought they were voting on something.
No, we want them to submit names, and the one we pick gets a prize.
Well, you have that way of having a submission, right? On the
we don't need to worry about the logistics of it right now. We just need to worry about if we're going to do it and what we're going to give out.
Yes.
What dollar amount are we okay with here?
No, I'll find some. Let me think about it.
$10, like a $10 trade. I'm not going to be at the podcast anymore after today, so it's been really great, guys.
We still want them to tell us what we want them to do for the 200th episode, too.
Yeah, nobody's responded by that.
People on the spot.
I think we need to do the table read, and then they need to come up with which character they want Colin to do.
I'm going
to
say this, and then I'll drop this. Start thinking up names for Colin's editorial section, and next week on the podcast, we will announce the details of the contest and submissions.
Okay.
Fair? All right, Colin shook his head. Yes.
Sorry, responding to I'm responding to an email.
All right, so listen next week for details about the contest and submissions.
Next week, so I'll be talking about this on Thanksgiving Eve. Yeah, okay, you're gonna have to remind me.
Well,
I will.
No, I'm gonna have a little bit going on. That's all. That's all I mean to say. We'll have a signing here that day. We'll have
Before
are we doing
that,
the podcast?
We will discuss.
Yes. Yeah. Of course, the podcast continues.
We have to drive to 200, man. Otherwise, it's going to be Christmas. Yeah.
What time is the signing?
Would have been at 200.
Four to seven. Or starting at four. I don't know how long it's going.
Yeah, we don't start till 8 o'clock.
I was going to say we could always podcast during the signing.
No,
almost like a live podcast kind of thing.
No,
but I guess you would be smart.
Well. In your editorial here or whatever. We're going to call
I don't have a planned time. One, so this is...
What is going on in the stores? Maybe that's your time to talk about what's happening.
Right now, well, next week we have... next Wednesday, it's Vito DeSante, who is the writer of Stray, and is also... I apologize right now, I don't know. He's got an editorial position with Action Lab Comics. I don't remember specifically what, and I'm sorry for that. But he also wrote Stray, which was one of their books... and he's coming into town to visit family for Thanksgiving and asked if I'd like to have him in for a signing. So
he looks like you could be related to him.
No.
Okay. Got the hair. And do you have a scarf?
I could buy a scarf.
Okay. There you go.
I mean, it's not like a genetic family.
It was very funny because scarf
he had, genetic. When you hit puberty, you grow this scarf around your neck.
He had come through town and just stopped in to say thanks, because I guess someone came in, he asked people to, I guess friends and family, to send him a picture of the book in their store, to see what stores are carrying it. So someone called and asked if I had it and took a picture, and he stopped in to say thanks. And then this was...
Is it Puppet Master?
No, Stray.
No, okay. No, I meant, is the editorial, was it Puppet Master? Because you had like 9,000 of those.
No. But then he came by, and then when I went to Baltimore at the opening reception in this bar, all of a sudden he comes up to me, hey, Colin, and it's one of those,
hey, you.
Yeah, exactly. And it took me a minute to remember who he was. I had two of those in Baltimore, too, so can't talk about that.
Fight Club.
Yeah.
The names weren't important.
No. So we got the signing on Wednesday, and then, of course, we'll have a Black Friday sale.
When are you going to post that?
When I think of it.
Get on it.
And then, hey, man, I just got this other stuff posted. What was it, last Thursday? I was so proud of myself.
Yeah.
And then...
Keep the momentum going.
I am.
You even
sent
us your picks right away.
I did. See? For one short week, I was on the ball. And then next Saturday is Local Comic Shop Day. Which I think I've talked. Did I talk about this before?
Yeah, but talk about it again. You want to hear it?
But I know. I still want to give the whole spiel.
Every
basically,
podcast is somebody's first podcast.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you, Stan.
Bring a little Stan Lee into it.
Yeah. But basically, Joe Field came up with the idea for Free Comic Book Day after seeing he had a Baskin Robbins in his plaza and they had Free Ice Cream Scoop Day. Or ice cream cone day or whatever it was. But he saw this line of people. And then he went and talked to the people afterwards. I'm like, well, don't you lose tons of money giving away all the ice cream? He's like, no, because they buy too. So that's where he had the idea. And then the record industry kind of took our idea. But with records being far more expensive to produce than a comic book, they couldn't do an exact replica. So what they did instead was they made limited edition runs of stuff and put them out for sale to get people into the actual stores. So Joe Field, again, I think he was one of the main guys talking about it, decided to kind of take the idea back and make local comic shop day to get people into the stores away from online buying and everything. So what they've done, they've come up with, I don't know how many items. I did post that on the website of all the different items that I'll have. Now,
the quantities you're getting?
The quantities are small. I think 10 is the maximum of anything I've gotten. A lot of ones and twos where they did small print runs. And there's 200 and some stores participating, so if they only did a print run of a 400, everybody's getting one.
What time do you open
them? I don't know. Probably 9-ish.
Get here early.
That's the problem. And the only rule is there's no holds. So you do have to come into the store. I'm not going to set aside stuff. So it's something that I still have to kind of figure out what I'm doing.
You said that one thing, you were concerned that somebody would come in and, like, buy you out.
Right, would come in and buy everything.
Is there any rules on that of just buy one?
No, I'm going to have to make the rules. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to come up with
something
ways
that's
fair. Fair to them, but also fair to me. One thing I was thinking, instead of pricing things...
Auction.
No, not an auction, because that'd be... Trying to run a store on the busiest weekend of the year and running an auction, I think, would be a little complicated.
Especially for that much. You got a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of... I mean, it's not a ton. It's not a full one of the little boxes.
You could almost set a limit, like, this number of things per person.
Well, what I was thinking, and I'm just kind of spitballing this still, is, like, if you spend $50, you can purchase one of the things at regular price. You know, a comic at $3.99, things like that. That's something I was thinking. So you're still getting other stuff and then getting that, as opposed to jacking up the price on these. Because, I mean, they'll go on, you know, you throw it on eBay. If there's only, you know, 200 of something, it's going to go for a lot of money. But I don't like doing, I don't like jacking things up because of that. I'm still kind of, that's my initial thought, just to make it fair. So, okay, you want to buy five of them, sure. You need to spend $250, you know, and then you can buy these at regular price. Yeah. So that's something I've been thinking about. Some of them are a little pricey. Like there's a Bitch Planet hardcover that they kind of misled us on the price, where the actual the price we paid was the price they told us they would sell for. So it was which was high to start with, and then it's like, oh. Stupid. So yeah, there was a little miscommunication there, but it's neat. Like there's also going to be a Dark Knight 3.
Is it like a signed version of it?
No, it's just a hardcover Bitch Planet it's the only way to get it. Now, one thing, I'm fingers crossed, I'm hoping these will come. It's a little weird, but no, not weird that way, but it's We Can Never Go Home, the book that I've been I've been preaching We Can Never Go Home, just pushing it, and they weren't able to get it. Diamond canceled it because they weren't able to get it to Diamond in time for Diamond to ship them to us. So they made us an offer that they will ship them direct to us, but there was going to be X amount per shipping and stuff. And then they said the cheapest way was to order a case of 21. That's the cheapest shipping option because it's a full case.
Yeah.
You know, and shipping is what it is. So being that I really, really like the book, I ordered a case of 21 of them, and they also said they'd sign it too. So I asked them to sign them all, and then if they could sign one to me, little perk. But so I may have 20 of those for sale, and they may be signed, but I don't know yet.
What is this, a hardcover?
Yeah, hardcover. Okay. We Can Never Go Home. So that's one I'm thinking will sell anyway. Just be me pushing it. Now the trade's coming out soon for $9.99, so there's a little disconnect there. But the thing is, the last issue, issue five, isn't coming out until like the second week of December.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be weird that I may have a hardcover with everything in it, even though the last issue hasn't shipped yet. So that was kind of neat, kind of weird. But yeah, there's like Rick and Morty and Invader Zim big treasury size edition thing. So it's just an idea. This is the first year. I don't want to say there's been stumbles, but it hasn't been fully thought out. They just kind of decided, mostly at San Diego, They just kind of said, let's just go with it and see what happens. Which I can't blame, because you overplan and overplan, and sometimes, yeah, it doesn't work out. So basically, we'll see how this one works, then try to improve.
I think that's what they're doing as well.
Yeah. Could you fix that one trade in the middle shelf? It's getting a little pinched. No, up closer to you. The Ninjak. Look at the last Ninjak. There we go. Thanks. Sorry. Everybody at home's going, what? I don't have Ninjak. So we got that going. So we got
that, you know.
We got Black Friday on Friday. We got local comic shop day on Saturday. Don't ask me about Sunday and Monday because I won't be in the state.
You'll be on the happiest place on earth.
And then we'll be back here.
I think the happiest place on earth will be anywhere he's not.
And then December starts. And so we'll get into December. So that's. So, oh, and then we have. There's an Adam. I got to double check with him. There should be an Adam Warrock concert coming up. I want to say it's the second week of December. So, gosh, that's cool, right around the corner.
The DK3.
Yeah, isn't that? That's a nice one. I like that. Nice. Yeah. That's about it for store events.
But anyway, by Christmas, you'll have your sales for that. Yeah,
we'll have the 12 days of Festivus sales. I'm going to try to do a little better than last year.
What was wrong with last year?
Nothing was wrong with last year. Well, no, you guys haven't figured out that's what I do every year. But some of my were a little lackluster and didn't get anybody really in. So I might try to do some.
What happened to your whole initiative you had for a while there of having like these creative sales and creative different things?
Like the temperature sale? And stuff.
Well,
like,
no.
Know, like, for a while there, he was on this kick of like doing, trying to think up like these different ideas for, sales.
I stopped coming in the afternoons.
Yeah.
That's, no, like it's just Justice League sale where it was a different character, and then it was, I stopped telling them
things. It just, I tend to spend most of my day just making sure I can get to the next day and getting everything done, so there's not a lot of sitting around going, hey, I should do that. You know, it's. And then when I get home, it's.
He fired his marketing manager.
Yeah.
I'm going to come in every day while I'm off on vacation
awesome.
And be your marketing guy.
Sounds good.
Maybe I'm going to be Pat.
Sounds good. I will happily take any ideas, any reasonable ideas. You know, I'll put every book out for a dollar. You know, no, that's not going to happen. But. Oh, I get. Yeah.
That's only trades.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's about all I got going on right now. But yeah, I'm really trying to keep the website up to date. My magic guys are mad at me about that. So
why would they?
Because I don't remember every like Thursday to say, hey, magic tomorrow.
Do they want some sort of present, like better presence on the website? I can build a page or something.
No, don't necessarily need a page. I think it's just more the awareness of going, they're playing tonight, you know, type of thing, where I don't always remember to.
We could do put it. Like a calendar kind of thing on the website.
So yeah, it's just normally I don't have enough going on, so it just seems like it would be a little sad. That's why I never have done
sad
anything
calendar.
Like that.
Well, but
no, I mean
all the other days we'll have frowny faces.
Yeah,
we'll hook you up.
Okay, we'll figure something out. Yeah. Gives me lots of goals for next year.
Yeah,
I always have these goals.
It's been getting better though. I think there's been a lot more posts.
Yeah, there has.
Like, no comments. There's never any comments on the website.
Except for, like, the ones that are in...
Yeah, in Russia with the Russian sunglass people. Yeah.
Is there even sun in Russia?
I don't know.
I think since most of your folks see it through Facebook or Twitter, I think they comment there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Not that I care. Just, I do want your feedback on all things. Yeah. Yeah, and Facebook, I mean, lots of times it's just a lot of shares, or even Twitter. Like, I shared one today about I was really excited about Tokyo Ghost, issue 1 and 2, artist editions.
Hmm.
Very excited about that.
Where are those at?
They're going to be out in January or February. Like, no, but things like that. Like, the Six Gun Gorilla came out this week, and I was trying to look through it. And customers.
Oh,
except for the ones that are listening, not those guys.
No, but the interrupting me. I just want to sit here and read. Come on, people.
You wanted to sit today. That's what
I did. Oh, I was tired.
Tokyo Ghost been coming out more than once a month?
Mm-mm. No, I don't think so.
It seems like it has.
We're on issue 3 today. Yeah. I feel like
it seems like
fast.
It's only been out for a month.
No.
Yeah, I'm with you, Pat.
I don't think it's any faster than usual. Yeah, no real editorial, just the one thing I wanted to pass along that I thought was funny was in my, we get the, DC, their move has not gone well. We used to, every Tuesday afternoon, we'd get their email with all their stuff, their links to their previews and things like that. Well, now we get it Wednesday afternoon. which does nobody any good, and nobody listens to me over there. I'm like, guys, this is useless to send me something at 2 o'clock on Wednesday to promote your Wednesday books.
No, so I think everybody comes in and after 2 o'clock.
But I don't have time. I don't have time to use those to promote it. You know, there's just not enough time.
I gotcha.
That's like Image used to send us the preview PDFs of their books on, like, Tuesday night. I'm like, I already have the physical copy in my hand. I really don't need the PDF. But in it was Justice League of America 5 is going to have different contents. Instead of being part of the Rao storyline, it's going to be a Martian Manhunter-based story. Now, it's written by Matt Kent. I forget who's drawing it. So, I mean, there's good there, but it's shipping next week, and they're just notifying us of this today. I just felt a little... Blind really? Time. You didn't know about this, yet somehow you managed to write and draw an issue and get it printed in time to send it to us?
I'm with Josh on this. I think they needed to just hold off until Hitch's
because now the people because they're like it's returnable. I'm like, and that's great. However, the people that buy it and then go home and read it aren't going to be bringing it back, and will that then make them go? I don't even what is this?
Yeah.
What happened to the other storyline? Or people even worse in the after
a bad experience with reading that issue does more harm to this series than a delay.
Delaying it for
Yeah,
I mean, but I don't think they're going to pull a Hawkeye and have another JLA series start on top of it. But
now, where this is causing more problems is Brian Hitch supposedly had been working on this for 2 years. He said it's going to be timely. Nobody believed him. Now everybody's right. The bigger problem was, I think it was either at Comics Pro when they first announced these, like Prez and those books when we first started hearing about them. Was that we were told that the first arc is already in the can. Don't worry about lateness. So, reading that thing on Newsarama I showed you, issue 5 was supposed to come out October 7th.
Right.
So it's already late, and now we're getting a fill-in issue.
It's only in the can. Just...
Right. Like somebody said on the Comics Pro Facebook page, wrong can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my only editorial is, yeah, it just... Don't lie to us, you know, as creators. Oh, yeah, it's going to be done. I mean, look at Marvel. You know, how bad is this going where issue 7 of 9 came out last week? Their entire relaunch is going forward, and nobody can make heads or tails. What's going on? I forget one book I was reading was talking about the death of Mr. Fantastic. It's like, what? When did Reed Richards die?
Which Reed Richards is.
Yeah. Well, we know the other one's alive because he's on the cover of New Avengers. But yeah, it's just, it feels very...
Kind of doesn't matter.
Mishmashy. Like, we're just going ahead, it doesn't matter. And when you have the event of the century that's the defining moment of the Marvel Universe as it was pitched to us by Tom Brevoort and Axel Alonso, to have them going... Oh, well, yeah, don't worry about it. We'll finish that when we get to it.
Well, the problem is when they smashed the two pizzas, it wasn't Tom the toppings that fell. Oh. It was the story that fell.
I mean, which is going to be... It's a good story, but you can't have something like that completely interrupt your thing.
No, not anymore.
If the continuity doesn't matter in certain things, like at least DC was very vocal about that part. Marvel hasn't been very vocal of what's
but the continuity,
about it. They're very hush-hush about everything.
But here's the thing. The continuity in Batman, while it may not be the same as what's going on in JLA or what's going on in Aquaman or The Flash, it's at least consistent in its own book.
I think that's the biggest problem.
Secret Wars hasn't been consistent in its own book.
And I said that not too long ago, that it's not continuity that necessarily bothers me. It's consistency.
Yeah.
And I think consistency is very important in a comic book.
Well, consistency is important in storytelling.
Yeah,
that's if you're telling a story.
Just like, and there, we're not looking at it as just issues. We're looking at it as a universe, like a big thing, and it just doesn't seem to matter in that case, which it should. But you know, even if things like aren't supposed to matter so much in this issue, or the time doesn't fit, DC was very vocal in saying it's not going to. That's what we're trying to do. Where Marvel doesn't.
Just from a general storytelling purpose. So, the next Star Wars movie comes out in December.
Yeah.
So, what if in Reel 2, Darth Maul shows up? Doing whatever. Now, everyone's going to sit there and go, well, wait a second. He died. We don't know how he came back, but now he's there and he's doing whatever. Well, that's exactly what Marvel did with Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Events took place that weren't explained anywhere.
Yeah.
And it was...
You mean hit the music?
I got it.
It was honestly like we opened up the book, and we were on page one, but it felt like we were on page seven, and yeah. we missed, like... How did we get to this point? Yeah, it doesn't. It there's characters back, it, doing things we don't know yeah. what happened, and it's a consistency thing.
And
more
I don't
than,
think it was
more
a
continuity.
I don't think it was a planned thing. The whole thing got delayed, and they were just like, "Well, we have to keep this on whatever time frame." So they brought it out, but then now people are confused on what's happening.
Well, we know
because
they,
of these new issues, and we haven't seen the conclusion.
We know that when they went from 8 issues to 9 issues, they cut story, yeah. and it almost seems like they cut out pages and just forgot to put them back in.
Yeah.
Or not even that, but like, okay, we can tell this part of the story now, so they cut out and just told, yeah, it just the framing wasn't there, and you're right, it went in feeling it was lost.
Consistency, structure, planning yeah. like, was not there at all, and it hasn't been with Marvel. It hasn't been for a long time.
Yeah, I guess we'll get into this now yeah. since we're already on it, you know, talking about...
This isn't all my editorial.
No. No, but, like... My OCD, she doesn't matter. It's Kate Marist. It doesn't.
She doesn't have blonde hair.
It depends on which version of the reshoots. Yes, she does.
There's nothing wrong with Kate Mara. Just the movie was bad.
She got exploited by a boss. Her sub. Do you remember that in House of Cards?
A sub?
Not a submarine.
A subway train.
Subway train.
No one refers yeah, to
a subway
sub.
Train. A sub is a submarine.
I mean, like Red October. Like,
yeah, I'm like, I don't remember her getting involved with a sub.
When did they have her underwater?
Subway.
How'd that happen?
A subway.
Gene Hackman threw her in front. The Alabama.
Roll Tide.
That was a good movie.
No, that wasn't.
Just to get totally off on a different subject, my wife's best friend's son was accepted at Alabama. Instead of my wife saying Alabama, she said Alabama University. And I just went, what the heck is Alabama University?
You mean University of Alabama?
Right, but
Roll Tide?
Yeah, but it was like, no, just Alabama. It's fine.
Yeah.
You confused me, but you went too far. Sorry. That's just... Never mind.
And that's the
I'll
end of
quiet.
His editorial.
Pretty yeah. much.
But with the Secret Wars, I know I'm stuck getting the last two issues because my OCD will compel me to do that.
Right. And you want to know how it ends because, it's again, it hasn't been a bad story,
but
presentation has been poor.
But here's the problem with it.
We know it doesn't matter.
We know it doesn't matter.
Right.
And so what it makes me say is, okay, my OCD will compel me to get these next two issues. I will never get another Marvel crossover until I know it's just yeah. outstanding.
How many? But that's the whole thing. How many of these crossovers have happened that don't really matter?
Well, here's the thing.
What was the last one that did matter?
Why do we keep assuming? That
well, no,
this
Secret Invasion had some stuff
after Infinity. I said I'm done. I'm not buying the Marvel events anymore. So I didn't buy Original Sin. I didn't buy Sixes.
I didn't touch Sixes.
But then this one came out. I said, well. This is changing the entire Marvel universe.
Yeah.
It's going to be all new and all different afterwards. I have to read this. I have to know how
called.
It happens.
And then,
and you know what happened, Adam?
What happened, Josh?
I became a sucker.
Oh.
And I was wrong, and it didn't matter. And
that's why we formed this
I regret. I regret purchasing any of those books because. Most weren't enjoyable, and the whole thing didn't matter.
We've all been used by Marvel.
We played 3-card Monty with Marvel, and we kept getting a black card.
Are you saying you shouldn't believe the hype, Josh?
Yes, that's what
you shouldn't believe the hype, but when they go on YouTube and they make this video, and that's the only way that I know what's going on.
When they go on a show, I respect as much as The View.
But they made that big thing, and then basically just none of it came, none of what they said was true.
Whoopi Goldberg told us.
And
it was
like, going to
be the
she
the
told
thing.
Us?
Yes. What?
She told us?
No, I said told us.
No, you
yeah,
didn't.
You did.
I definitely did not say tell
yes,
us.
You
she
definitely
did.
Said told us.
Went to college in West Virginia.
That's true. That's where it's spelled.
She was on Star Wars for all those years. I had to trust her.
Guinan wouldn't lie to us.
Huh. A Wookiee?
What? Yeah, I
don't know.
I guess I just don't lie to me. Tell me what it is. That's all I really want to know. And it just, I get frustrated the more.
Like, well, I don't want to say this was a lie, but like Adam mentioned that Witches ended. That was the whole story, 1-6.
I could have sworn they were coming back, but no. And Batman Beyond's not done.
Yeah, it's at the end.
No, I saw
issue 6.
There was a tweet the other last week where he said he just sent scripts over to.
See, I don't get that.
To Jock.
I don't get, and I'll talk about.
And Batman Beyond, I've already ordered 6 and 8s in the new book, so you're wrong.
So that's the other thing. They used to say at the end of a book, when the series ended, it would just say the end. Batman Beyond did that, and Witches did that.
This, you mean last week's Batman Beyond?
Yeah.
It's in previews for.
Oh, I know that, but that's what it says Collins at the end.
I think they're just saying like, the end of the arc. The
yeah,
end
but
of that, the
they
story.
Don't usually
right,
say
but
that.
Yeah,
for
that's.
An arc.
Yeah,
they usually
normally
say
it
when,
says,
when a series ends, it just says the end.
Yeah, normally it
and
doesn't
it
say
like
anything.
Like a conclusion.
You can't go by just the little thing at the on the last page is where it's a final issue.
You can if they've been doing that with comic books for over 20 years at hey. Least of saying the end on arcs. they just it. And
well, wait a second.
Story,
hold on though. If it's a new creative team, I could see them doing that.
And that might be the case, but, like, I just don't, even the story even doesn't seem like an arc. It seems like the end of the... Of,
it's like it was a 6-issue yeah. mini, like Bizarro and yeah. Batmite.
Like,
and,
at the end of this, it kind of, especially Witches, if you check out Witches, it just kind of ends with, as a conclusion, like, that's the end of the story. So, no, it is. It's, it was really weird for this.
Just have to wait
to
volume 2.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there could possibly be doing that, and maybe they're doing it as a second part of, I guess, like, Image could do that. They could have a second part of a story.
Yeah.
And they could start over, but.
Or it could be like
Batman Beyond really threw me off with that, because
it could
they
be
were
an
like,
anthology.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it was from a few months ago. He said he just sent the script for Witches number 7 to Jock.
That's weird.
So
you don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it does. It's
don't listen to Adam anymore.
That's why it's not called Adam
He's
News.
Confused.
It does.
He's your version of tabloid news.
It does. It. But how the book was written. Now I'll talk about that with Batman Beyond more. But it does. It did seem very much like a conclusion. And with putting the end at the end of the story, he told me that was the end.
They meant that was the end of the book.
They should do it on all.
Anyway. So what else did you read?
Oh, you want to start with me?
I guess.
Oh, I thought you were gone.
No, I was just bitching about Secret Wars because it bothered me and I can't give my
well,
actual...
Do we want to give, like, talk about Secret Wars since all of us read it first?
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I got lost on page 1
yeah.
and it didn't get better.
Secret Wars 7... made you feel like you missed an issue somewhere.
Yeah.
The book itself, like, it, just looking at what happened in Secret Wars 7, it wasn't necessarily, like, a bad issue. You were just lost from the get-go because you start off and there's suddenly a huge battle between all these different areas going on. The Thors are no longer, on the side of Doom. There's this mysterious prophet that you find out about that has rallied all of the people together to rise up against Doom.
Maximus. Which,
but it was...
Isn't he
boom,
inhuman?
Boom.
It was just...
No, well, he's an inhuman, yeah, he was on the one raft with...
Okay.
With... Was it Thanos? And,
yeah.
Was
and
it that
Corvus
Maximus?
Glaive and all that. Who knows?
It was just out of nowhere.
It wasn't...
Yeah, it was very much out of nowhere.
He didn't say, are you not entertained? It wasn't that Maximus.
So I had to stop and, like, go back and look at the end of the previous one to see if I... lost my mind. I was forgetting something, but no, it just it didn't make sense.
It's one of those, and Marvel is really good at that with events now, that it felt like you had to read most of the tie-ins.
But I don't think they even would have answered that,
because
when was
the Maestro showing up? Like, I was like, where did that come from?
No, that's what I was thinking.
Did
like
I have to
before.
Read
you
was
read
the
all the you
Future
read the Future of Perfect,
like,
did you, Dave?
I didn't read that. No.
Oh, okay.
No, but yeah, when Maestro showed up with all those Hulks, I'm like, what am I supposed to feel right now that all these Hulks have arrived? I just had nothing to connect to there.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's my fault or the fault of the writer or what?
It's your fault, Dave.
Well, in the Mr. Sinister
actually,
stuff.
Actually, it's my fault.
I mean, that whole thing was...
And one thing with the tie-ins, then, you know, make the tie-ins, like, work then, because the Marvel Zombie Age of Ultron book, they become, like, this hybrid cyborg zombie type thing. And in that, we did not see them as robot zombies. They broke out of that wall, and they were all zombies.
Well, no, and then, they're exactly right. They were all zombies, and somehow, you know, because I guess he's King of the Dead, Black Panther's able to control zombies now.
Yeah. I just did.
When did that understand. Get added to his power set?
Right.
Black Panther is King of the Dead now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would assume.
He told those zombies, he was like, you're with us. And they were like, okay.
That was back in AVX when Wakanda was destroyed by Namor.
Which, and then Namor's dead, but somehow he showed up. He was there, and they were, you know, they weren't fighting. They were, you know, working together. And that art was really weird. There was a really weird smile on one of the pictures of Namor. It was the whole thing was just like, he was like kind of in the background, like, like, with this goofy little Kool-Aid man grin. I'm like, what is going on here?
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't bust through a wall or anything.
Yeah, smashed through the wall. Oh, yeah.
Somebody did.
Yeah. Well,
the wall was down.
That doorway thing they had, it reminded me of the soul thing from Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Like, I was waiting for Sirius Black to come out of it.
It was.
The whole thing, it was just... It was just
the Harry Potter movies.
No, that's for nerds.
Whatever. Then I'm a nerd. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first time I've heard that since high school.
What
jerk?
Flashbacks. Way to go, Josh.
Man,
can't
take a joke. Jeez.
No, but it
consistency.
Yeah,
it goes back to what we were saying about consistency.
By itself, if I just picked up the issue, yes, I'd be lost, but I kind of get that. It wasn't necessarily a bad issue.
No, like, it was fun with the huge battle, it just, none of it made sense.
No, if in the context of the story, I got lost.
Like, if you didn't care at all about the story, you just want to see a big battle,
it was
great. You'd love the issue.
Yep, I agree. And it was also, it felt thin. Like
it was very thin. It was
this,
20 pages.
This book and number 9 were shaved down, or number 8 were shaved down to number 9.
Right, but that's just, it wasn't enough.
I was listening to some other podcast, and they were saying like how it's great that Hickman has more story to tell, so that way they let him add on issue 9. And I'm sitting there in the car listening like, that's not what happened. They shaved them down. It's in the previews.
But they didn't shave them down. Like, that's the thing. So they shaved down 4 or 5 pages from 7, 4 or 5 pages from 8.
No. They cut 16 pages from each.
Yeah. They shaved down the whole
comic.
Oh,
so they would have been, like, oversized. And then
they were higher priced.
Probably would have been done by them.
But if you take 16...
they were only $3.99.
Right, they were supposed to be $4.99. Okay.
No, originally they were higher priced.
Okay.
All of 9, they might be adding a couple more pages, but they got a whole issue out of those.
Okay. That's where I misunderstood, because I saw that it was only $3.99.
Which means
and I'm like,
what probably happened is what would have been 7 got split, and that'll be 7
and 8,
and then 9
is
going to be
what
8
was.
Would have
eight
been.
Was, yeah.
Because they're so far behind, they don't want to drag it out further. So
that's true. If they had a way for them to draw more stuff, it would be April before we get it. Which I know someone has
the
conspiracy theory about that.
There's already talk about their next event in February.
Civil War 2?
I don't know.
Give me a break.
I've not wanted Civil War 2. What a gimmick.
Like, it just...
And my question is, what if Civil War 2 starts before Secret Wars ends?
Even if it doesn't, it's really dumb to me to have your event end in January and a new event start in February. That is just taking advantage of your readers, in
my opinion. But the other thing is, it's killed momentum of books before, and they're... And I go back to the Spider-Man thing, where... I really want to read Spider-Man 2099. The first two issues were good. Then it got into...
Spider-Verse.
Yeah, Spider-Verse, and it got derailed. And then when it came back, it was horrible. And that's why I haven't picked up the new ones, because I'm like, it's just going to happen again.
Anymore, the events... For Marvel, it's like the events are the book, and all the books are the filler. Like, all the regular books are filler until our next event.
Yeah.
And that's really the big thing.
Well, and it's, you know, the last big...
The tail wags the dog.
The last big event that DC did, you know, Forever Evil, it wasn't that way. You didn't have to read the tie-ins. You got a good story if you read the tie-ins, but it wasn't necessary.
Well, also, it's a self-contained event.
Yeah.
And that's one thing Marvel can't seem to do, is a self-contained event. Except for, what was that, Guardians of the Galaxy?
Well, this was the ultimate of all-inclusive events, where it ended all their books.
All of Marvel's things tie in. Like, the event is the big thing, and then all the tie-ins.
Right. The only thing that was confusing with Forever Evil is that Justice League has always been, like,
the flagship
in the past of behind all the rest of the DC books. So everything else has been happening seemingly in the future, and Justice League is far in the past.
Yeah.
Forever Evil was happening the same time
as
the books, because then we saw the impact of it.
Was it all Justice League, or just that first story arc, which took place in the past?
Right now, in Justice League, Oa still exists.
Yeah.
Everyone has their power.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird.
So it's
well, but that was the whole continuity thing, that the continuity doesn't matter and just tell a story.
But with the exception of Forever Evil, Justice League has always been lagging behind.
No,
Justice League was
kind
of the untouched book too. That was still focusing on the main timeline, where everything else seemed to move forward.
But during Forever Evil, everything kind of happened
at the same time. Yeah,
it was always still around during Forever Evil, or had it been destroyed yet?
No, it was still around.
Was it okay?
Yeah, I think it was still.
It was right before Convergence was when it got destroyed.
But we don't even know where the timeline goes into that, I guess, because of Hal Jordan.
No, not right before. Because as soon as Geoff Johns left, that's whenever...
That was issue 20.
Lights
Probably
Out.
All happened at the same
Lights
time.
Out, I think, is when it got destroyed. Didn't it get destroyed by
Relic? Oh, that's right. Yeah, because they're all Mogo. I kept thinking that they were on Oa, but you're right. No, they're all Mogo. But even then, I guess if continuity doesn't matter, they can do that. And again, I'm okay with that if you tell the right story and you stay consistent.
Well, yeah, that's fine. It's just it's weird to me that you would be out of continuity for everything and then all of a sudden have one event where you're in continuity. It's like, pick one or the other. I don't care what you decide. Just don't mix them.
I wouldn't mind if they put, like, at the beginning, like, everybody's always said DC needs to do the summary pages like Marvel does, but I wouldn't even mind it having, like, a small timeline saying this takes place before that, or this, that, or at least something saying.
They got burned so much whenever they launched New 52, saying, like, this is occurring 5 years beforehand, and then once they set that timeline in there, then people started scrutinizing it, saying, how did he have all these Robins then during 5 years? How did this happen? So now I think DC doesn't want to touch
specific timelines. Would that change if they were just like, this happens before Forever Evil? Like, would that change anything like that? Or this happens
because that's Oa got destroyed at issue 20, and I think it was like 4 or 5 months later, or forever.
Or around there. Like, it was issue 20 Geoff Johns' last issue?
Yes, that was his last issue.
So you think he'd know?
It wasn't... Was it destroyed during the end of his run, or during the beginning of Venditti's run?
I don't remember.
So it may have been somewhere in the 20s.
Because that's the other thing. Remember, Green Lantern kind of got into the habit of rolling into event after event after event.
Yeah.
Which was okay, because it stayed self-contained into the Green Lantern universe.
Yeah.
But it wasn't okay because it spanned all the books.
You'd assume that an editor would have caught something like this, but you always have the possibility of they weren't thinking of what was happening in Green Lantern, and they were just like, Oa, that's where the Green Lanterns go from.
They have line editors.
I mean, has
but it's also it's Geoff Johns writing it.
Is Oa back at all in anything?
No,
it's still.
Well, I mean, obviously,
even Mogo's gone. He doesn't even have a planet.
I mean, Justice League.
Mogo's. Well, we don't know where Mogo is. My assumption is it's in that other dimension, universe, timeline, whatever it is. It lost cores in.
I thought one of the books said that they found Mogo, but he was like completely seemingly dead.
They're gonna kill Mogo again.
Well, I don't think they're gonna kill him. Like, he was dormant or whatever.
Oh.
I forget where I read it. Where they said Mogo was a he, but I thought it was clearly established it was a she.
Geoff Johns wrote that it was a she. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When John Stewart puts her back together, it talks, and they're just like, "Oh, it's a she." Yeah.
What else did you read?
Oh. Well, Dave, I think you read this. Autumn Land 7?
I did, yeah.
Did you? This
This has been a good book.
I've liked it. I especially like the art. The art is just really nice.
Art is beautiful.
This is another one where they took a long time off between issues, and it's reflected in sales.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
it's been like 5 months.
It's reflected to us, not to them. So they're not going to see the decrease until the next eight. Because we're the ones sitting with all the extra copies.
I sometimes wonder if it's like what I think Josh said it, the whole sale of trade thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's what.
Well, then the problem
it seems
is
conveniently at six usually.
Yeah, but then would
a lot of image books do that.
But then you have the people going, "Oh, well, I'll just start getting this in trades." Okay, well now you're going to have to wait another
six, seven, 8 months.
Are you going
to
remember?
Really engaging to jump from trade to ongoing single issues.
Yeah,
because once you've made that initial trade commitment. You typically just stay with that.
Same with trades, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Once you got that first trade,
because what's the point?
You typically just stay with it.
Yeah.
Because, in all honesty, aside from not being able to read them as soon as possible,
yeah,
a trade is a much better experience.
That's the only thing that would. Yeah, I think so too. And
yes and no. It can be my only thing is sometimes.
For you, it's not.
No. But sometimes that month wait, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see what happens, when you can just turn the page, it lessens that.
Yeah, it's like when people talk about binge-watching things.
Yeah.
It just reads so much better when you get the whole thing right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that...
It has issues with experience.
It loses some of its story beats that way.
It depends on the person, I think, a lot, too. Whoever, if they don't really care, like if they're like a binge-watcher... Mm-hmm. Then they don't necessarily care, and then it reads better as a trade. Or if they're like a comic book person, it's just like sometimes I want to wait till that.
Then
I can see that.
Even though I never watched the show, and don't kill me for this, but I never watched it. People said with Breaking Bad, when you binge watch it, it lessens the impact of the show because you don't have that anticipation from week to week. Oh my God, what's going to happen?
Same thing.
I got to do a mix
because I didn't start watching it until season 5, I guess. So I binged those first,
Was that the last season?
No, I think.
I forget what season was the
five
last.
5 was the last.
No, it wasn't.
I think it was. I think 4 was the one.
And they broke it into 2, I think, something like that.
Yeah, Avis, he does that
then
a lot.
Maybe I binge watched 3 seasons. Regardless, I binge watched some seasons of Breaking Bad. And it was fantastic.
Shut up, Colin.
And then once I had to switch to weekly, and then like the whole 6 month break, it was awful.
Because you were so used to it. Because you were so used to binge watching it. Yeah, I did the same thing.
I mean, the anticipation was there.
I didn't hate the series.
I would have gladly traded the anticipation and the excitement for having it immediately.
It felt like a drug. Like you were just like, what am I waiting for? Because
it was about drugs.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, Autumn Lands.
Drugs
are bad, Colin. You shouldn't sell them there.
Hugs, not drugs, Adam.
That's true, right? Dave. We just got daved.
That was last week.
It's every week.
This week's about pounding him for 7 and a half.
Just your titles. Dave can dave anyone all he wants. Anyways, Autumn Lands 7 continues with the rescue. They were brought back to another floating city.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a city that kind of was for rescue. Like this little like block of like a castle basically came down, got them, collected them, brought them back up to
everybody except Dunstan and the great champion, Android, are still trying to survive in the woods. Trying to survive in the woods together.
I didn't scan that. I can't put that on eBay like that.
No.
Jesus. Wop wop.
No, that's not Jesus.
Can't really set that aside either.
Okay.
Just some people see.
So, yeah, they...
I got a story that I'll tell you later about that.
They do the rescue, but yeah, the only ones are the Chosen, with the great champion and the and Dunstan, who's the white dog.
Dunstan's a dog, and the great champion of all these animals turns out to be a human being.
Yeah.
Which everyone is trying to... Since in the series, is trying to wrap their head around.
Yeah, and the eagle, who is basically, it seems like the eagle is almost like the king of everybody. Like that's what it seemed like. He was the grand something or other. He kind of led everybody. So everybody was kind of listening to him when he told him. But he wanted to look into more dealing with the champion.
And he's going to be surprised.
Yeah, and that's I think so. And, yeah, not really anything too big. It kind of just starts you back on this new arc.
They have a good conversation about the nature of magic in this realm, and, which is kind of like the Force, I guess. I hate to bring it back to Star Wars, but there's this Hotsis, which is this power in every living, in everything, and,
is it microorganisms?
No, it's not midichlorians, it's Hatsis.
And are they microorganisms?
Are they Hatsis?
No. In magic, it's being able to manipulate them, I guess.
The ring is Bupkis.
Is fading, so we learn it's the Autumn Lands now, and it used to be called the Summer Lands.
Yeah, and they're worried because it's about ready to become
be called
the Winter Lands.
Yeah, because in this Hotsis is fading, in everything.
Yeah, and then there was a couple surprises in the they run into an animal, like they run into crows, which have been on the back of all the comics, saying the exact same thing where they, I forget what they say, they kind of squawk at them and fly away, they're always like, what was that? You know, because they've never seen an actual animal like that before. The other thing is that the antagonist from the last arc, what do they call him, Seven Scars?
Seven Scars, the bison.
He was still alive, and he kind of runs back into the woods.
Yeah.
So,
and then on the last few pages, the champion has this vision of this giant, I think it's a mechanical bug or something,
in the
sky that
something.
Only he sees. And Dunstan can't see it.
So
it was like, what the heck is going on there?
And we're also, since the last arc, trying to figure out more about the champion of, you know, what he comes from, some past, what happened to create this future, stuff like that. So it's got a lot of questions,
and they're all interesting.
I think that's what makes this book pretty decent, is that it has all these questions that you're asking, and there's a bunch of things that they're going to have to.
It would be interesting to see how everything will tie together, you know, as the series goes along.
It's fun. It is. It's a fun book. All the characters have all different personalities, all the art, the animals.
The art's just beautiful,
too.
Yeah,
and then the art's really nice. So. But yeah, Autumn Land 7 was really good. You might have read this too, Dave. Back to the Future number 2.
I did read Back to the Future.
I think I'm done with this one. Yeah.
Only four issues, you're halfway in, man.
Yeah, I'm just not like,
he's out of time.
I thought there would be more. I know it's like they're mini stories that just deal with somehow in Back to the Future time, but they're not that interesting.
Yeah.
Like they're not that good for what it is, I don't think.
I understand what you're saying.
Like the first one had an interesting story of him working with the government on the Manhattan Project. I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting.
The government comes to Doc Brown. They want him to create the time travel.
Yeah.
Which he's already been doing on. And then he figures out, you know, they're not going to use it for the best.
Yeah.
And
that's the whole thing. Like, he shows it to him. He's like, yes, I can create time travel. And then after showing him, he's just like, maybe that wasn't a good idea
it. So
that's why, and the whole thing is why his house burned. Though.
Yeah.
Because he burns it down to get rid of the device.
And he, you know, he says he can recreate everything.
Yeah. So it just, it was okay, but there's not a lot for the book. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a lot just to read. It's surprisingly...
It has a lot to live up to, of course.
Yeah. I
can understand what you're saying.
I guess everybody read this. Batman 46?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I liked it. It didn't have a lot to it, this issue, because I think it was just summing up what happened in the last issue. But I think, like, the whole Bloom stuff, we went into a little bit of Gotham history, where there's this alleyway, and it goes back to that. Was it the annual, or is it when
that was
one?
The annual.
Was that the annual when they...
Or no, that was, like, 44.
That was the one when... Yeah. They had a substitute company doing. There was a lot, and my biggest question: who's Bloom? And I keep feeling like it's Bruce's girlfriend.
You think she's Bloom?
I find it odd that she... And maybe that's what they were throwing to us, the whole buttoning up the shirt thing and how she was just kind of thinking there. And she kind of came out of nowhere in that... You remember the bathroom scene?
Yeah.
Just
kind
of came out of nowhere. I don't know. She just... Something weird. I don't know.
Not being able to manage buttons doesn't draw...
No, it was just after all this, she seemed kind of in a mind of her own. She was just there.
Yeah, but I don't know. Nothing is ever... Nothing in the book has made me think that she's...
I can't see anybody...
Yeah.
I can't see anybody else. Like, I don't know who else... It could be of all the characters they've thrown to them.
Maybe it's not someone we've seen.
That's a possibility, too. But usually Scott Snyder's always throwing us, like, a mystery type story.
Yeah, but maybe he doesn't...
Kind of like going back to...
He doesn't want to give us a Scooby-Doo ending, though.
No, but he kind of does, in a way. Because, like, even with Court of Owls, and they threw out the mayor of that was run... was he the mayor at the time of that? What was his name? It was his brother, whoever it was.
He was going to run for mayor.
Yeah, he was running.
Lincoln Marsh.
Lincoln Marsh. And then, you know, we were trying to figure out, well, who's, you know, behind all this. And then it turned out he was the talent. And then, you know, there's a lot of that mystery type thing. I mean, it could be absolutely nothing. That could be what's throwing us off. But I just kind of wondered if that could have been her.
Well, I hope that's not the case. Because
we haven't seen much about her, too.
No. We saw her in that flashback.
Yeah,
that
much. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, my other one was it could be the... it could be powers, but I feel like that's just too obvious. You know, because we're all just like, well, she's kind of...
Well, but you know what, though? If you go back to... Okay, so her son then becomes...
Yeah.
Not Radioactive
Mr.
Man.
Blooms.
What is it?
Dead Giveaway.
It's...
The guy from Batman Beyond.
I think
Beyond.
His name was Blight or something.
Yeah, that's right. It was Blight. Yeah, so her son becomes Blight.
That's not a good name.
Well, but maybe that's... Jeez. Actually, it's like Malcolm Powers.
Yeah.
Is that her son or
it's her
grandson?
It's her nephew.
Is that
yeah,
what
she
it
mentioned
is?
In a book that he was studying abroad. Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, so maybe that would actually make a little bit of sense.
It would, yeah. It would just kind of tie those universes, which I think he's done. But
although,
I really
wait,
don't
no,
know.
Because
I don't know
he Bloom attacks while she's there.
That's true. Yeah, she was there.
That doesn't mean that that's not a ruse to throw suspicion on her, but I don't think so.
It would
so.
Be weird if it was Bruce. Because he could be anyone, I guess, now.
That would make, yeah.
It's Alfred.
No, because there would only be one arm doing it.
He's growing it out of his stump.
He's too busy training kids to kill themselves. It's pretty well.
He's not training them to kill themselves.
Going out there and doing it's very un-Alfred-like, but that's another book. But I didn't think it was a bad book. I've liked it. This isn't my favorite storyline that he has done, but we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. Batman and Robin Eternal number 6.
I like this issue.
I liked it.
I did. You guys didn't like the last one, though, right?
It didn't have
it
a
was
lot
just okay.
The
yeah.
art was wonky with the different artists. The story, kind of hokey, almost. Like, the whole fight within Tim Drake's parents, how it just... A lot of it didn't make a whole lot of sense, but this seemed like a return to form.
This had a lot
much more
of,
focused than the last issue was.
Yeah,
it just... There was a lot of interesting stuff, him studying, going back and looking into the past a little bit. It was good. It was just, I don't want to give up too much with this book, because it is kind of a mystery book where every issue...
Well, and that's the other thing, it also comes out every week, and...
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. But really, this one brought it back up. The last one, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. Yeah, it almost seemed like a filler, like that issue with Tim Drake and Batman and Batman Eternal with the nanites.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, okay, I guess. And also, since New 52, I haven't really liked Tim Drake at all. So, okay, Batman Beyond number 6.
So I read this.
Yeah.
I didn't love it.
No, I didn't either.
It was a way too convenient end to things.
That was kind of my biggest issue with it. It just, it was too convenient.
Like, the whole victory came about because Brother I decided that it wanted a physical body because it would be more satisfying to... You know, kill these people with a physical form, so that's how they were able to.
Which made no sense.
Stupid.
It made no sense at all. He wants to be a person? Like, what's the point of turning them all into robots?
Like, and they even say, like, so you're like whole, your core, like everything is in this body? And it's like, yes.
So what happens once everybody's turned into a robot? He's like, yeah, but humans are the way to go. You know, like, yeah. He seemed like he was almost contradicting himself.
It was dumb. Really the art was great. I love the art in this book, and the writing is fine too. Like technically everything's fine. It's just the story they're telling.
I think
has a lot of holes in it.
I think the problem is really it just goes back to the ending of Future's End, where
the
non-ending. Okay, now this is the ending. Okay, but it wasn't that great either. Like,
and that's where I messed up because I really wanted to read, you know, this in continuity Batman Beyond story.
Yeah.
Even though I really was disappointed and kind of hated Future's End.
Yeah.
So I feel like I did this to myself.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing. And I wasn't as disappointed with Future's End.
No one's
when
perfect,
it first
Adam.
Came out. But that's why I picked up Batman Beyond, because I accepted it as, well, Batman Beyond's kind of going to be the ending.
Well, and that was the other thing. I kind of, since I was so disappointed in Future's End, I thought maybe this will give me a more satisfying conclusion.
At all. Like, and then I don't know where they're going to go from here. Like, is it going to be
now it's going to be him being Batman Beyond in place of Terry McGinnis.
Just,
and that's the thing. I don't understand why they had to.
It was very quick.
Why they didn't make a big deal about we're bringing Batman Beyond into the universe, but we're going to kill him and make Tim Drake.
Yeah.
Him. Like, what was
it,
why?
It didn't make much sense. Not exactly the conclusion I was hoping for. Not at all. I thought he was at least going to save time, you know, or change everything so Batman Beyond could, you know, he'll exist again or something, you know. I thought it was going to be more. A lot better than that, and it didn't really resolve much at all, besides him destroying him using ink as, you know, the ways of doing that, and then it wasn't really part of his plan that she was going to stay, but then really, what was his plan if that wasn't going to be the case, you know?
Yeah, I guess he somehow had a plan to take care of Brother Eye if he were still a straight-up AI that were was linked to everything.
But that was what they could...
Well, we don't know what that plan was going
to
be, because...
What was the point of bringing ink to begin with?
Well, if he had to write something...
I don't know why.
Because it worked out
bringing her since he had the physical form.
Since he was physical form, but not if she wasn't. It would just be like, okay, you're here.
Unless it was just a backup in case.
Unless she was just coming up because her daughter was up there. That could be the only thing.
Maybe.
But it just, not very good. It was disappointing, I think. And it kind of disappointed me more in Future's End, which I wasn't expecting.
I won't go that far. But.
Well, for me, though, because I didn't really mind if they were going to do something with it. They didn't, and that kind of ruined Future's End for me. But it was okay. Not great, though. Birthright. Birthright is another book that came back from Image. Birthright is just kind of, you know, I've explained it before, but It's good if you kind of like the fantasy type stories. It's almost kind of science fiction-y as well. Where this kid thought to be kidnapped ends up in some sort of fantasy world. Where when he's in that said fantasy world, it kind of has like I can explain it like Narnia rules with time. That when he's there, future time moves quicker, and on Earth it's not moving that quick. And when he shows back up on Earth, he's like a fully grown adult barbarian who shows up, and he's after these sorcerers of some sort that work for the evil of the world that he was on called Lore. And throughout the story, you see that he's actually possessed by something. It almost seems like it might be Lore. But in the last issue before this, you figure out that he's possessed by something called the Nevermind, and it's from actually fighting with Lore. And he's possessed into doing Lore's bidding. And he kind of has to deal with this, otherwise I think it kills him if he doesn't like, listen to it. And his brother's becoming suspicious of this, who's been with him on this trip, trying to find these sorcerers because he thinks these sorcerers are evil, but they're actually good, and he's supposed to kill them off for Lore, and then Lore's trying to take over Earth, basically, and coming to a new world. It's fun. It really is. It's a really good book. I'm surprised it's not, because how are your numbers high on that?
No.
No.
It started off strong.
It seems like something that would be, people would really like, because it has a lot for people that are, like, if you're looking for something kind of fantasy-like or adventure-like, it's kind of that. And it's not badly written at all. So I really actually recommend it, but as we were saying before, it has been... late. Like, it had that delay, like everything else. So, coming back from that, at least some of these have ended on arcs, where this has been a brand new arc starting up here, but still.
Well, I'm sure that's kind of their plan, to do it through the arc.
But it's kind of one of those things, like, I've been waiting so long, I forget what happened.
Yeah.
And then you decide to let it go, which, you know, does happen. But it's really good. I recommend picking up Birthright. Chewbacca? Anybody read Chewbacca? Dave read Chewbacca. We know Dave read it.
Dave read the same books. Jesus.
Better issue. They basically start to fight back. They're buried underground. They were left under there.
Yeah, they're in
for
these.
Basically death. There was one line I didn't like where they're like, "We just Sarlacc'd a bunch of people." Like, I was like,
yeah,
nobody
yeah.
would get that but Star Wars fans. Like, they didn't really throw anybody in a Sarlacc pit. They're just like, if you've seen Star Wars, you know what I'm talking about. Sarlacc. Weird line. The art. I like the art in this book.
I like
it's
the art in
very
this
different.
Of all. I think it, yeah, it's.
And if
I think
it's
really nice.
They draw Chewbacca really nice.
Yeah, Chewbacca's drawn really nice. Yeah. He got the facial expressions down, which is half the battle there for him, which I love.
And the thought process of the story of having this girl who's really the one who's going to talk. It's the voice of the book. And then Chewbacca's there, but it just, they did it right. They did do it right. But they get out of there, and they go after to whatever the bad guy's name is. I forget his name. The guy with the toxic...
Jaum.
Yeah.
J-A-U-M.
Yeah, and he wears like a tank over his head because he can't breathe their air.
Yeah.
But he's basically wanting to turn this into like a is it a mining planet? He's just wanting to mine.
It's a mining colony. Yeah, they're mining those bugs.
Those
larvae for the Empire.
Yeah. Turns out that's what fuels the Death Star now. But they're just basically, these slaves are wanting to fight back against this guy, and this guy realizes that's going to happen, and he's like, "Oh, they got a Wookiee," and they figured it out.
Yeah.
So he asked for the Empire for help and. In exchange for a better deal on what they're wanting.
Yeah, that was a good pay, because he's like, I hope there's room on your streets for
Imperial Walker.
Imperial Walker.
Yeah.
So I like that.
So it's not bad. It hasn't been bad. Darth Vader number 12.
I thought that was okay. I didn't like the ending of it.
It was kind of just summing up an ending. Yeah, it didn't really have that much going on in it.
No, and, like, the stuff with Alpha, I like that. The stuff with him and his little inspector buddy, I thought that was okay.
Yeah, I like that character.
I do, too.
I just like him because he's intelligent, and you never find an intelligent, like, character from the Empire.
Yeah.
He is. And it's almost like Darth Vader kind of is just like, do I want to kill him or do I not want to kill him? And anybody who questions anybody who Darth Vader sits there and contemplates killing... He must have some reason for it. And
yeah.
I'll write my book. Oh.
He's interesting. He's not voiced real well by your cartoon people.
Okay.
Though,
yeah. But I didn't like how it the way it rolled into Vader down.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of that.
I'm not really sure what... Because I haven't read it yet, but like I'm not sure how... If I like how it's rolling and then they figure down, like, because, like, even the
Admiral Akbar guy?
Admiral, the whatever they're called, something Calamari.
Mon Calamari.
Mon Calamari. Who's basically, like, Grievous. He has, like, these robot body, but he's, Mon Calamari. Yeah, I don't know how that's going to
And he never
happen.
Said, it's a trap.
Yes, never did. He's like the evil Admiral.
Yeah,
Akbar.
That's what he is.
It's not a trap.
It's not a trap. That's basically it. He has a goatee.
Proceed as planned.
Reverse Akbar.
Reverse Akbar. And then the whole negotiate, how he goes, Darth Vader meets up with, what's her name?
Aphra.
Yeah. That was... you know.
Okay. Well, I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
I
don't feel like he's ever gonna kill her.
No.
No. She just doesn't know.
I liked her conversation. Are we ever gonna get over, you know?
Yeah.
Are you gonna kill me? You're not gonna kill me. Stay here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't answer at all.
Yeah.
Darth Vader, though, is still one of the better books.
Yeah.
Of Star Wars, so. I like it. Colin, you read this one. The Goddamn.
I did.
I think you were the one who sold me on this because you had a pick of this is your pick on the website.
Mm-hmm. I read that too.
Yeah, and it was good. It was really good. Some of the language though bothered me, and not to say that you know,
the title was goddamn.
I didn't like the little kid like going on and on with with what he was saying.
Didn't you ever see Hit Girl?
That's true, yeah. But it didn't really make any sense from where they were from. I don't know. The time period didn't fit what he was saying. And that was the only thing that bothered me about the book. The rest of the book where you're following this guy and figuring out finally who he is, and then they introduce another person, tell you who he is, and they're all, you know, different. And just, you know, we know of his characters from the Bible. We never seen him like this.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and it was just very
just a different way of, you know, 2x2.
It's before the flood, right?
Yes, before the great flood. Yeah.
Okay. So it has a lot of potential. Like it really does. And I think that's why I want to just continue reading it because they have a lot that they can do with this. But what did you think of it, Colin?
No, I liked it. I thought it was good. I didn't know where it was going. I didn't know what was going on. And then when they kind of made the reveal at the end, it's like, okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Basically, the big reveal, we're going to give it away, is that the main character is Cain and that the other character is Noah, who is gathering things animals, people, whatever. Because all of a sudden he says, yeah, just throw him in the cage in the back, and you don't really think about it. But then,
why did he even choose that kid? Like, I guess they're like, who cares? I don't care if they're good or bad or what.
They need genetic diversity.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well, they needed this kid, I know. Not bad.
Yeah, it was good. It was Jason Aaron, I think. So yeah.
Yeah, it was Jason Aaron. Jason Aaron does better at books like this than he does for any other
him and
our company.
Guerra, who did Scalp together.
Yeah.
Right.
So no, the art really fit the story. Like it just worked, and it seemed like dinosaurs. Even you saw dinosaur skeletons all over the place. Did you see the one?
Oh, I didn't notice it.
Yeah, there was a dinosaur skeleton on panel. I'll show it to you. But, you okay, Colin?
I'm fine.
Well, at least you didn't, like, open a soda by the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, them.
Were you staring at me about that?
No, I was looking at the TV screen.
No.
Sorry.
I haven't done that in weeks.
But it was good.
I don't believe that person.
Okay, Justice League, Dark Side War, Green Lantern.
Last time I tried, my pop failed me.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it better than the Superman one and the Flash one.
Yes.
Wait, which book did you say?
Green Lantern.
I loved that book.
I did.
I loved it.
I
thought it was fantastic.
What I liked the most about it, where it seems like the other characters are either corrupted by or have embraced their godhood, Hal kind of took it, and he explained it to his younger version of himself, where gods give up free will, and that's where his powers come from to begin with. So he kind of, he realized in order to be a Green Lantern, he had to do it.
Yeah.
So he gave up being a god, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
No, I didn't either, because he's the one person I would have thought would have been corrupted by it, because he's very brash.
He would have the arrogance to say, no, I got
this. I got this.
Control.
Yeah.
I think this one stood really well against the Batman one.
I just think
they did it just as well. Like, it could be, like, a standalone one-shot. It did fine as, like, a good Green
It was a
Green
really
Lantern
great
story.
Green Lantern story. Yeah. It was a really, like, touching story with him talking to his younger self. I thought all around this was a fantastic issue. I really loved it.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing I didn't like about that As soon as he walked into church and a guy had a bomber jacket, I knew it was him.
And then
they didn't reveal it until the end, but it was easy to guess. It would have been better.
Who else would have been besides his dad, but he was at his dad's funeral, and
he was talking about that. So I think it would have been better if he wasn't wearing the bomber jacket, so it wasn't given away. I think that would have had more impact. Like,
yeah, that's a minor.
Well, but the other thing is, it had his name tape on there, so why didn't he keep... Wow, really? Your name's Jordan
Poole? Then they sold you right at the end when he shakes his hand or whatever he did.
You saw the green lantern ring.
You were like, yeah. What bothered me more was that it wasn't the ring he was supposed to be wearing. It was a regular Green Lantern ring. It wasn't the Mother Box ring.
But it wasn't a Green Lantern ring either. It was the Honor Guard ring, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
The Honor Guard ring is with the... It's just the lantern, where the other one is the round with the lantern in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I think he was wearing the Honor Guard
ring.
But
still, it seemed odd, because if he was time traveling, he would have had the Mother Box ring.
Yeah.
That was just a weird... That's a tiny thing, but...
But even after he got after the Mother Box ring presented itself, when we saw him again in God mode, it was just a regular Green Lantern ring.
And I like how they just summed it up right in that issue, too. The whole thing, he was just like... He destroyed it. After he did what he needed to do, he destroyed it.
It was great, and it made me wish that Tom King was writing some Green Lantern book ongoing.
It just was really
well. Who's the new writer of the Green Lantern Corps book that's coming?
I don't know. It's in this preview.
Why are you giving me these questions?
No, but is that possibly Tom King?
No, it's not him.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
But,
I wasn't trying to hurt you.
And the whole the Mother Box idea that the Mother Box is basically like a Green Lantern ring.
Yeah,
they brought this up before in that whole New Genesis storyline. That they brought up that it's very similar and they did once again where he was able to merge it and everything.
It was
a cool concept. I really
like that idea,
and that he's the God of Light.
Yeah.
And in that book, like they said, basically, I don't know if we'll see him as the God of Light ever besides that book, because in that he gave it up, done. And it was just good. Really well done.
Tom Taylor.
That was close, Tom King. That was close.
I think he'd disagree. He'd be like, no, I'm nothing like that guy, but whatever. Justice League Dark Side Wars Shazam.
I really like that
one. I like that one, yeah.
I really like...
This one wasn't like the Batman or the Green Lantern, but it gave you a lot of idea of like this new Shazam.
The only thing that confused me is Shazam became the God of Gods.
Yeah.
But this issue, it showed he had a tie to different gods and some different powers, but it didn't portray him almost in the same way that he's portrayed when he became the God of Gods. In Justice League, it didn't feel. I mean, he's always. If that's where you're calling him the God of Gods, he's always been the God of Gods, and he's always had powers tied to these gods. The only difference now is they're different gods that his powers are tied to. But other than that minor gripe, it was a fantastic issue.
The thing about who the wizard was fighting though. Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you notice though when they first showed where his powers were, they did it backwards. They did it massage.
Yeah. They did.
And then, you know, they went back to him being Shazam.
I like how the wizard went around and he was just like, I gotta find gods quick. Make sure they have the right letters to spell out Shazam.
Yeah. All right, I'm looking for a god whose name begins with an S.
God S? S? Yeah, you'll do. And
two A's?
He has the power to make pancakes. Good breakfast. Like
Adam, you could have been a god.
Oh.
So could Aunt May.
Wheat cakes.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyways, but it was good. It worked really well, I think, a lot better than any of these books with the main story, because it almost seemed like more of a tie-in to the main story.
He's fragile, we got to understand him.
But these other ones have been more kind of one and done.
Yes.
This one could fit in as a Shazam, you know, the future of Shazam. But yeah, it was good. We talked about Secret Wars 7, so I don't think we need to talk about that.
But let's go on more, please.
You want to go on more about Secret Wars 7? Walking Dead 148.
Read it, but I got to be fair, I really skimmed a lot of it. There was a lot of talky, talky, talky.
It was a lot of talky, talky, talky. I thought it was okay. I love the ending of it. The stuff with Alpha, that was kind of weird, where she was crying.
Yeah, where she was upset about the whole situation. Which, the only thing about that, it seems like she's hiding that she's human still. And yeah. She's just putting on a show. Which, yeah. Then you see her cry, and then people are just like, no, they can't see me cry, because I'm the alpha.
Yeah, so then she slit the guy's throat.
So she's just like, dead. That was the most interesting thing about the book, though. Like, the thing about Walking Dead is just a lot of talking, but the book reads real quick. So you'll be done with it in no time. I'm just like,
yeah.
Was this worth it? Like, sometimes
I don't know. I did like the ending.
Like, I should wait. If he wants to put all the book into a bigger size book, I'll wait a couple months for it.
Yeah. You know? But Rick going to Negan, I think, is good.
The only thing I didn't like about that, how long have they been setting that up?
Well, but
since we've been back with this new arc.
Well, that's the thing. Once the Whispers showed up,
yeah.
You could tell Rick was not going to be able to handle that situation, and they were going to have to do something with Negan.
Yeah. But I don't know. There's not much I could say, because I don't dislike Walking Dead. It's one of those things. But that's it for me.
That's it. Okay, Josh reminded me we got a question, and we forgot to.
Womp womp. You're supposed to be leader of this podcast, Colin. Oh.
Okay, so it's from James in Harrisburg.
James. Hi, James.
From Harrisburg. Oops.
Way to click on something.
I hit that. I hit your podcast submission feed.
Podcast?
Are you going to submit a question on the fly?
Look, he didn't tell us nothing, so you just...
you get it.
But it says, since next week is Thanksgiving... What comics-related things, i.e. specific book or creator, collectible, news story, convention experience, etc., are you grateful for this year?
I don't know.
Adam, go first. Oh, no, you don't know.
Yeah.
Pat, I forwarded this to you guys. So.
Yeah, but he doesn't read.
I understand.
I think the thing that I'm probably most thankful for is...
The Batmobile.
I haven't gotten it yet.
Oh, okay. Adam writes his around.
That's a Christmas present, so I haven't actually officially
gotten
it.
Sitting on it, high knees, you know.
I'm afraid to break it, though. But I do have a special place for it already.
Zelda does have those ears.
But, you know, I guess on one hand I'm thankful for this, but on the other hand my wallet is not. There's a lot of good books out right now. And unfortunately, I don't have the time to read everything I'd like to. But I kind of see it as a good thing. It's not like I'm just coming in here like, oh, I got nothing to read. But I do think I'm
giving, almost out of books.
I do think I'm giving Colin Bunn too much of my money, but it kind of sounds like that's slowly working itself out.
Yeah.
Santa?
I'm thankful for the children.
You're not Santa. You're Krampus.
Yeah. That's
yeah, true. I'm along the same lines as Pat. I'm thankful for, you know, there's companies like Image who let all of these creators tell the stories they want to tell so we can all enjoy them. You know, some people like different stories, and that's fine. So I'm thankful for these independent companies who are able to do that. And I'm also thankful for Marvel and DC that I don't know how to say this, but they can jerk around these characters.
I knew it was going to go so much like this.
So much, but I'm still invested in them.
Did you know Dave was going to do it?
But I'm still invested in these in characters like, I'll say, like the Fantastic Four. I'm waiting for a new Fantastic Four book. And Lord knows they were put through the ringer this year. But I'm thankful that these characters stand the test of time.
You're thankful that you still care so much about these characters, despite the fact that Marvel and DC...
That's exactly
jerk
what I'm saying.
You and the characters
Dave,
around.
You're in an abusive relationship with Marvel. That's the problem.
Like,
yeah.
We're going to find you a nice shelter when we're done here.
Yeah. But Marvel said it's going to change. I believe them this time.
And I'm also thankful for that in a month I'm going to get to see new Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's
What? They're making a movie?
Something
yeah,
like that.
I don't know if anybody's heard about that yet. But,
a little small film.
I mean, if you piece together all the information they've leaked, you can watch the entire movie already.
I stopped watching any of that stuff weeks ago. Like, when the first trailer debuted, I watched the first trailer. I've kind of went on blackout. If I see The Force Awakens in anything, I just skip it.
I love Star Wars, but there's a small part of me, a spiteful part of me, that wants this to be Episode 1 all over again.
No.
Just to stick it to everything. So it's been so... much Star Wars. It's overload. I can't take it. I'm almost sick of it.
Here's the thing. They have whored themselves out to a new level. Like, I was watching TV the other day, and Revlon has a Star Wars makeup
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, Stephen and, Colbert was going
and I'm
on
like,
that last
okay,
year.
Like, George Lucas was clearly a whore, but even he didn't go to this level. Like, they had C-3PO cereal.
Lost that, listener. By George.
George Lucas was like, aw.
Like you know,
I thought I was safer.
They had all kinds of Star Wars merchandise. And that was fine.
Last night, Stephen Colbert did a thing on Star Wars eggs. You have the light side eggs and the dark side eggs. The dark, the brownies. choose who you want to follow.
Yeah,
with a Star Wars.
They have their own. They have their Star Wars coffee creamer now.
Yeah,
like give me a break. Ruining it.
Yeah, and that's. I don't want the movie to be bad. What I would love more than anything else is for a new generation to feel what I felt the first time I saw Empire Strikes Back in the theater. I'm afraid that won't happen.
No.
But that's what I want my nephews to experience what I experienced the first time I saw that.
They won't. Can't. The magic is there.
Always remember, that was the first time I ever had... experience with the cliffhanger, I think. And I could not believe that movie ended.
You mean Empire.
Yeah. Empire.
Star Wars
didn't end. No. I'm talking about Empire, but I could not believe the movie ended that way and that I would have to wait who knows how many years to see what happened.
Yeah. I actually, a couple days ago...
Oh,
I'll
never forget that feeling.
Adele and I watched Empire. It was her first time seeing it, but we're starting to go through all the movies.
Did you start with Episode 1 or did you start with Episode 4?
No, we're going to do it machete order, but I'm not going to skip anything, so okay. Modified machete order. So we did, you know, 4, and then we did 5 the other day, and now we'll do 1, 2, 3, and then do 6.
Okay.
And I'm not going to skip 1 because I think I hate 3 more than I hate 1, to be honest with you, and I think that she'll like 1 because of the kid, so.
Okay.
But, like, we're watching it, and... At the part where he says, you know, I'm your father, like, it blew her mind. She's like, what does he mean he's his father? How could he be his father?
I was watching there's a video on YouTube of all these clips of kids watching that scene, and they have the exact same response.
Yeah, she's like, why would his father cut his hand off?
It's really interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
That's what happens to bad kids. That's what you said.
Isn't that interesting that she can watch these movies just fresh without anybody telling her anything, and she'll be like, it's his father? Like,
I know all the kids are like, that's great. He's lying, isn't he? He's lying, right?
Well, and that's it. You know, that's the other thing.
Does he look like a liar, Dave? I mean,
well,
he doesn't look like a bad guy or anything.
But it was funny because there are other things. Like whenever Lando is on screen, she's like, "Wait, is that Lando like from Star Wars Rebels?" It's like, "Yeah, she's like that's like real life Lando."
Wow.
He's like, "Yeah,
that's interesting."
Wow. I'm like,
"That's cool."
I guess that's true. Like,
she was like, he climbed out of a cartoon.
But like, for her, like, her Lando was the cartoon Lando from Star Wars Rebels.
Now she's fearing that cartoons are coming to life. She's just like, oh, I gotta.
If she sees a Colt 45 commercial, don't let her watch Batman.
That's interesting.
Now he's Harvey Dent? What?
I think, going back to. Me, because I wouldn't think anything.
You forfeited your turn. You have to wait until it comes back around to you.
I didn't think about it.
You have to wait until it comes back around to you now. It's my turn.
Oh.
Yeah.
I cry.
So, I'm gonna pick some comics that I'm thankful for, specifically. So I'm going to pick three specific comics I'm very thankful for this year that were surprises to me that I really enjoyed. I didn't think I would enjoy as much as I do. So, Bloodshot Reborn. Because before that was not a big fan of the character Bloodshot, but I absolutely love this book. Prez, which I absolutely love, and you know I was interested by it, but didn't think I would like nearly as much as I do. And Star Trek Green Lantern,
Yes.
Which has been a huge surprise for me. So I'm very thankful for these surprise hits that I really love. And I'm sad that two of them are, you know, ending with six issues. Star Trek Green Lantern's a mini, and mm-hmm. Prez.
No, Prez is going to do another six.
Yeah,
so they
but that's...
say. We'll see.
Okay. Can they Me? Capture lightning in a bottle
My
twice?
Turn?
What are you thankful for, big guy?
I am thankful for small publishers making the extra effort. And what I mean by that is Black Mask sending me a copy of We Can Never Go Home was really, I don't want to say the only reason I read it, but I don't know if there's anything in that first issue that would have made me grab it off the shelf. Now I'm just speaking for me personally. Because so much comes out every week, and I try to read all the new number ones, and I read the ones that I'm enjoying, like Batman and, you know, Secret War that I have to read. No, but I mean, I'm enjoying it, but I need to read that to be able to talk about it. So a lot of the smaller press number ones that...
They get lost,
and I just don't have time. So by sending me an actual copy that I just threw in my bag and one day ran out of books I wanted to read, okay, this is interesting. Because it was literally, it was the same cover as I have by the counter. So it was just a yellow cover, nothing super eye-grabbing. But I read it and loved it. And it's made me now read a ton of stuff that I probably wouldn't have. Stuff like Young Terrorists, mm-hmm. Clandestino, even Mayday that I ended really weird, but overall enjoyed. And then there's also Tyler James of Comics Tribe, who really reached out. And actually, I think it was a tweet where I responded to a tweet of his and just got in with him. So now
that's the oxymoron.
That's the oxymoron one where I actually have more copies coming direct from them because Diamond's out. And just making the extra effort, making me willing to go. Like, to reorder We Can Never Go Home, I can't get it from Diamond. I have to order it direct from them, but I'm willing, you know, like once a month. It's not a sacrifice or anything. I pay less than I do at Diamond, and it's free shipping, but it's just an extra step.
Yeah.
And I have enough steps in my day that I am willing to go the extra because they're willing to go the extra. Like right now, they are literally at the printer boxing up those local comic shop day books to get them to us by next Wednesday so that we have them to have out on Saturday. So I appreciate that extra effort that they're doing because the Marvels, the DCs, those are going to come, even Image it. And everything, but it's these real little guys that I'm just appreciating them making the effort because there's so much comes out. That was one thing I saw on my Comics Bro Facebook page where people are just going, you know, there's a new one called Afterburn or Aftershock Comics where Mike Martz left Marvel. He was the Batman editor, then he didn't want to move, so he went to Marvel, and then he quit Marvel to head this up. And he's got a bunch of books coming out, and it's like really great creators, but it's okay, but where do you fit with IDW and all these other ones that we have on our shelf? I forget, there was another publisher that they mentioned. I think it's like 415, some just...
451.
Yeah, and they mentioned those two specifically, going, you know, where, you know, there's so much stuff out there, what's your hook, what's your catch? Well, these guys have made the effort to get that hook, to get into me, because they've realized they got to sell to me before... They sell to you, because no matter how much selling they do to you, if I don't order it, I'm not going to...
Yeah, if you don't have, you
don't have
it
to buy. So, yeah, I really appreciate it. And that's just something that's really kind of stepped up this year that I've noticed just with these couple publishers. Adam, did you figure something out?
Yeah, Batman. I'm thankful for Batman. Lame.
That much time just to think of Batman?
Well, because we're getting all these, especially at the end of the end of the year, we're getting
for French fries.
All of these.
He likes turtles.
For the wrong person, huh? But all these stories coming out, like Batman Europa and
the Master Race.
Yeah, Master Race. All this stuff coming out.
Adam's thankful for the Master Race.
And also, we've had Batman Eternal, and we've had this new Batman and Robin. So we've got a lot of Batman, but I mean, there's always a lot of Batman. But it's been good stuff, so. Now what?
Okay.
Now who's got
now
more?
We jump back into
Yeah, now we'll go
circle.
Back to our talking about
Okay.
Books.
We are getting close to 2 hours, so we might want to do shorter.
Yeah.
Okay, news. Pick it up.
Okay, real
I mean,
quick.
I can't talk about all 18 books I read?
You can, no. Just like
refine.
No, just quickly. Southern Bastards.
19 books I read.
I like that.
I already told you to beat me.
I didn't think it was good as the issue before it, with the crazy guy in the swamp.
Right.
But I thought this was good, and it shows how all the people around Boss are slowly turning against him. Not necessarily overtly, but you know, kind of
they're
realizing.
All these forces are aligning against Coach Boss.
Yeah. So I like that a lot.
I wasn't until after I was done reading it that I noticed that it wasn't the regular creative team. It was written by Jason Latour, who's the series regular artist.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a different artist on
drawn
it.
By Jason Aaron?
No, they didn't pull the old switcheroo. The next one, Rebels.
Yes, I read Rebels.
That was different. It was about a woman who ran a print shop, and she was doing like propaganda posters about the Stamp Tax Act and all that. She gets arrested, and then while she's in jail, she's visited by Jane Franklin, Ben Franklin's sister. Although she's married or has a married name, so it's not exactly that. And she's very much a patriot and wants to work with this woman. I thought that story was okay, but it was just okay. What I found more interesting was the backup story, which was Seth Abbott was, I guess for a lack of a better word, having Overwatch, like as a sniper. And the guy he's working with, you assume he's a patriot, but come to find out, he's actually a former slave who is working for the crown, but he's like a spy. And Seth notices, like, he had the patch from that unit torn off, but he could see the outline of the stitching, so he knew that's what this guy was. I thought that was pretty interesting, to kind of see, you know, a different side. And there was, you know, the philosophical debate about, well, even if this country becomes free, I'll still be a slave, so why do I care? And you know, Seth was saying, well, you know, no, you know, that's not going to happen. When we become a free nation, everybody will be free, mm-hmm. which, of course, isn't what happened, but, you know, it's kind
Sounds
of
good.
The... Yeah, it's the whole... he's very idealistic of what's going to happen versus the reality of what did happen.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty interesting. And the only other one I want to mention is Codename Babushka. This is good spy comic, really, for anything else. She was on this cruise ship, and then the cruise ship got taken over by Somali pirates. There was like a mafia meeting going on, and you know, a couple of the guys basically said, you know, we're not going to be held for ransom, and started fighting the Somalis, and you know, a bunch of gunfire took place and all that. It's just good fun. So that's all I read. Dave,
I only have one that wasn't mentioned yet. Descender number 7.
Great issue.
Great, yeah, very great issue. We have the Hardwire coming to Robot Resistance, called the Hardwire, coming to get Tim 21, and they introduce him to his brother, in quotation marks, Tim 22.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to take him to their home planet, and Tim 21 doesn't want to leave without Dr. Kwan and Tesla. Is the girl Tesla? I think so.
I think that's what her name is. Like the captain?
Captain
Tesla.
And, but they don't want to take them with them because no carbon-based life forms have stepped foot on the robot's home world. And then we have the story about the... I should have seen this coming.
And this one...
with this robot bounty hunter guy.
I felt like Pat did with the Green Lantern... Dark Side War book, because this, I immediately guessed who it was.
I didn't. It was over my head until the last page.
Yeah, like after you know a page, I'm like, I think this is gonna be Andy.
And yeah, so Andy. So he goes back to his mining planet.
So there was this, well, even before that, you see this bounty hunter who is hunting down robots, and he initially goes to this farm colony on like this look like an Arctic like wasteland.
Yeah, yeah.
Planet, and he, you know, saying like, you have crops, but you don't have any sort of irrigation or whatever. I know that you have, you know, where are they at? I know you have robots or droids. And then he kills them and collects the bounty, and ends up being the little boy from, you know, Tim 21's past, Andy, who was his essentially brother.
Yeah, so you get the last page of him taking his helmet off. I'm Andy. I'm Tim's brother. So that was great.
Yeah, it was good.
Awesome. And that's all I have. Everything else was talked about.
Okay, first one for me was All New Hawkeye, number one. This, so far, is the first of the relaunched Marvel books that I'll be continuing past issue one. I really liked it. I think Lemire is a good fit for the book. I think this first issue read better than the arc they had before the relaunch. Seemed much more focused. It's still Clint and Kate, but now where the previous arc was flashing to Clint and Barney's past in the circus, this is flashing forward 20 years to show, you know, that there was this rift between Clint and Kate, and Clint gave up being Hawkeye, and she was really the sole Hawkeye and almost built it into like a larger empire, but then she needs his help because this, how they handled these kids that, you know, were killing everyone, almost like mutated kids, came back to, you know, haunt them in the future, so they have to, it was their mess to clean up, so they had to, you know, approach it again. But it was a really good, really good first issue. The art was great. The story was great. I really enjoyed it. Constantine the Hellblazer. So this,
Adam thought he read it, but he didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't read it.
This is just, it's been a great series. So this is the start of a new arc. He comes back to New York. Since all of his, you know, ghost baggage has essentially been killed off because of the threat he faced in the first arc, he finds himself very, you know, alone, and he can't stand that, you know, being that sense of being alone. So he posts an ad on Craigslist for anyone that needs, you know, his services, and he gets a, you know, ton of responses. So it's him, you know, the rest of the book is going through and dealing with all these different encounters. And it was a very fun book. It felt very, you know, much like Constantine. And then it sets up something larger whenever, you know, they highlight how normally if he posted something like that, he would have gotten, you know, maybe two or three responses, and this time he got like 63 responses. So something is brewing. It was just a really solid issue. The art's, you know, great. I would highly recommend checking it out, especially now with a brand new arc to jump on it. New Vertigo book from last week, Slash and Burn.
Yeah.
You didn't like it that much?
That was okay.
I really liked it. It was confusing at first.
Yeah.
But once I realized what was going on, like, it starts off, the main character is this woman who's a firefighter, and she's saying, like, this internal dialogue that she is a murderer, and she takes different lovers all the time, and she kills them afterwards. But then you find out she's a pyromaniac, and her lovers that she's talking about are the fires, and her murdering them is whenever she has to go there to put out the fires as a firefighter. And there's even one like weird scene where she, you know, brings out her kit and makes this, you know, like cloth doll and catches on fire, and then like sets it on this, you know, board on top of her, and almost like makes it very sexual. So clearly, like, sticking with that whole, you know, lover theme. But I thought it was a really good first issue, and playing up, you know, her history as an orphan, and just, I don't know, I thought it was a solid debut. I'm curious to see where it goes. I liked it much more than Unfollow number one.
Yeah, Unfollow number one was uneven, number one. Which, although that just got picked up for TV, thanks Pat's News.
What's this?
Unfollow got picked up by, that surprised me too.
Yeah.
Because one, ABC, I wouldn't expect for that type of show. But
who owns ABC?
Being, that's what I'm saying. But being Disney owned?
Well, not just Disney owned. Marvel, picking up a Vertigo book. Yeah. I found that very odd. I don't know. I knew what it was about, and when I started reading it, it just wasn't kind of following what I was expecting.
It just, the first couple pages you're reading it.
Investigating the fire, and the guy, they're like, oh, he's already dead because all the air would be gone. Well, how would you know somebody was locked inside a storage locker? That's just, I was confused by all that.
Unless there was just something that was known, this guy was living in a storage locker. I don't know.
Maybe, but.
The first few pages were a bit, there were some hurdles, but I feel like once you got past that and kind of understood what was going on, then it read much, much easier after that. But I liked it enough to where I'll go back for number two. Unity number 24. So this wraps up the short two-issue arc with, this initial return of the Armor Hunters. And I believe because we saw some of the flash-forward stuff with the Book of Death, that there's going to be a larger encounter with the Armor Hunters. But this was essentially where one of the Armor Hunters, Helix...
Now, Unity, that was the group in Book of Death? Who was that group in Book of Death? The Ninjak, the girl with the robot guy?
Yeah, that was Unity. So okay. Unity is essentially Valiant's version of, the Justice League or the Avengers.
Yeah.
And in Book of
Death...
Then
who were the Armor Hunters?
Well, the Armor Hunters were these mix of aliens who their mission is to eradicate the Exo Manowar armor because there's this virus associated with it. But Eric, who is currently, has the Exo armor, has managed to, conquer it, so it doesn't pose a threat anymore, but the Armor Hunters, their mission is still to eradicate this, and they'll eradicate the planet and sterilize the planet if it means getting rid of this armor. So, one of the Armor Hunters, Helix, who is almost like a digital construct, was not dealt with, at least they thought they dealt with her, but wasn't actually dealt with during the first encounter. So Helix has returned and has kind of taken over Ginger, who is the giant robot spaceship one that was with the Armor Hunters, but then they switched to Unity's team. And one of the Armor Hunters that was being, treated almost like a lab rat and tested and poked and prodded managed to get free and knows that Helix is out there as well. But the issue just kind of wrapped up very quickly and very easily, and the art in this wasn't that great. It had a different creative team than normal. Normally Matt Kent is on it. I believe Josh Dysart wrote this. I forget who's on art, but it wasn't a great issue. Like, especially the faces in the art looked really, really weird. Like Eternal Warrior looked really off. And it was disappointing because the first issue I liked, and I was really looking forward to this arc because the initial Armor Hunters event and miniseries was really great, but this was a bit of a letdown. Especially that I think number 25 is the final issue for Unity
as
well.
It's like an all-comedy issue or something.
Yeah, which doesn't seem to make sense for how this book has been. I don't know why they're doing a comedy issue for this series. So just kind of a bummer way to end this series. So, and then the last one I mentioned was number 2 of 4 for Twilight Children.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read that?
Mm-hmm.
This is a weird issue.
Yeah, it was.
I read this, and I felt like when I was done, I enjoyed it, but I have no idea what's going on.
Absolutely.
Which is a weird feeling to have.
No, I felt like more when I read Morrison.
Yeah, it's setting up all this mystery in the town.
With these orbs.
With the orbs and how they're like able to transport people to almost like this afterlife kind of thing, but it's not really an afterlife. But then they can come back naked. And then the
kids
whole thing
lost gained their sight back, but then lost it shortly thereafter. The town tramp who's hitting on everybody.
But like the husband and the boyfriend almost look like they're in on it together.
Yeah.
Like they know they both have a relationship with this girl and they both want to prevent her from having a relationship with this scientist that's going to investigate. Just really weird. And it raises more questions than it answers.
Yeah, it's only 4 issues, so there's
But at the same time, it looks gorgeous, and the story is engaging,
Darwin
and it's really enjoyable, but you're left just scratching your head more.
Yeah.
I think this is something that'll read great in a trade.
Yeah, this one doesn't. You don't really need the pauses.
Yeah, and I almost wish now, because I'm 2 issues in, so I'll continue for 4, but I wish I would have just waited for the trade, because I think it'll leave me, you know, feeling more fulfilled than right now, where I'm kind of like, what the hell did I just read?
Yeah.
That's it for me.
Me. Okay. Uncanny Avengers 2 basically introduces Cable back into the Marvel Universe, coming from the future, seeing where the effects of this current Inhuman had decimated the Earth, and he's coming back to try to stop it. Survivors Club 2. Anybody reading Survivors Club? You passed on that one?
I wish I would have picked up the first one, but I didn't, so... I guess I could now, but...
It's not that hard.
Well, no, there's... Last week is a pretty big week for me, so I don't want to pick up something extra.
Gotcha. But interesting. It's about this video game that affected people, and now...
It's not Zelda.
It's back. No, but it, like, met... And this one guy was playing a prototype and just went completely bonkers, and they're dealing with him. And then somebody shows up at this one girl's house, and she has... You don't know exactly what's going on, but she was, like, on a date with this guy, and then all of a sudden started having these visions, and there's another version of her that you learned at the end of the first issue, where she was just kind of, like, sitting next to the bed like a doll, just kind of dropped. Same exact person. Well, she... Something's wrong. She goes home, and some... This guy had confronted her double and basically decapitated it. And so it shows her going, oh, you're always falling to pieces. And he's carrying her up the stairs. It was very weird. Lots, and she was getting undressed, and there was like a pull string on the back of her neck. You know, like to pull to make her talk. And just as it was about to get interesting, she had this vision of something wrong. So it's one of those, okay, I'm going to keep reading because I don't know where this is going.
How have the Vertigo, new Vertigo books been doing?
Sales-wise, nothing huge, but I didn't order big. Vertigo has never, for me, sold well. Like, even leading into the end of Why the Last Man, I'd sell 3 copies. Mm-hmm. Fables, I would sell 3 or 4 copies. But it's a lot in the trade, but it was never a big selling book. So it's like, you know, when everybody said, oh, you know, Saga, it's Brian K. Vaughan from Why, I'm like, okay, I'll order 5. You know, I don't know, that doesn't mean anything. So I'm honestly only ordering 10.
But didn't you sell through your 10 on a few?
I did. On Twilight Children, I had to reorder. And on Follow, I sold out. And I should have more in these boxes right here.
How the number 2's done compared to
okay,
the
okay, but you order a little bit less. So far, it's still early, though. So I'm not sure. All New Wolverine.
How was that?
Not bad. Just a little weird. It starts off, she's like on this mission. She's talking to somebody, you don't know who. Somebody,
who
something.
Is she?
She is X-23, who is now taking over for Wolverine.
Well, she is Wolverine.
And she's investigating something at the Eiffel Tower, like terrorists or something. And then she has to, you know, there's a very dramatic page where she's talking, and they're like, you know, you got to be discreet. He's like, they're all standing around, all these people are standing around seeing me talking to no one. It's about, you know, they know something's up. So she takes off her coat, and she's wearing the classic Wolverine outfit. So she goes up, then it flashes back to a conversation she had with Wolverine when she got hurt in some battle, and he's like, no, you know, don't stand up because your guts are supposed to be on the inside, and just like them just kind of talking. And then it goes back to the thing on the Eiffel Tower, and it turns out in the end that she was actually fighting a clone of hers.
It's a clone of a clone of Wolverine. Because
she jumped off the Eiffel Tower and died, but she's down on the ground, and it's her. So it was one of those
intelligence
what?
From each clone, though.
Yeah, it was a little weird. It was interesting enough. I mean, it was more interesting than the last batch of Wolverine books I've read. So I'll check it out. Carnage number 1, better than I expected. I was intrigued. The art was really good at the beginning, and then broke down a little bit as it went along. Jerry Conway's writing it, old time Spider-Man guy. So it was neat, and it's basically. He's on the loose. Carnage is on the loose, and they're trying to capture him. So they've put out this like fake news report to try to goad him into finding like his very first attack left one person alive. This Manuela something, who he calls Manny, and so he's off to finally rectify the one that got away. And so he shows up to this, you know, staged thing, and of course it doesn't go right. What's supposed to stop him? Eddie Brock is there with. Something like he'll be able to take it out. He has toxin. He's got toxin ready to take to fight
him. Is Eddie Brock anti-venom?
No. They got that burned out of him during
Spider-Verse.
Yeah, one of the I think it was before Spider-Verse.
Spider
Island. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's, and he keeps saying, let me go. Time for Plan B. The person in charge keeps going, shut up, Eddie. So of course everything goes wrong. This one definitely reads like a 5-issue mini, even though it's an ongoing. Not bad. It was good. I'm sure the Carnage fans will really love it. It was fine. Illuminati number one, which is basically the Hood is trying to get a group back together. You're following Titania, who like she visits Absorbing Man in prison and is like everything's going to be okay, but she realizes it's not because even She-Hulk confronts her on the street. She's trying to get a job, but she can't. She got a job as a guard at a pawn shop, and then these guys attack, and everybody blames her, saying she set them up and everything. So finally, when the Hood shows up to try to recruit her, she kind of goes along with it. Well, at the end, it's revealed that the Hood set up that attack and is trying, doing all these things to get these people into his group. So
was it good?
It was fine. It was good. The art was a little wonky on this one, but I can't say I disliked it. It was fine. It's just basically setting up a new like evil team. So it was okay. Ultimates number one was interesting. It's establishing a lot of post Secret Wars stuff. Like there was it starts off with the Blue Marvel, who I guess, and it was funny because then it says he's the living embodiment of antimatter. And then you get a Photon later, who is the living light or something. And it was just like, okay, so none of these are people, just as they do all these introductions. It was very weird. But so they have him, and he's talking about something that was only 7 elements, or 7 neutrons, protons, whatever. Chemistry was not my subject. I tried twice. Not my subject. But it could never be a building block, and now...
Yeah, it's physics.
No, it's chemistry. It's
chemistry.
It's
7 electrons,
molecular
structure. 6
is yeah.
Carbon, so whatever
but
7
yes.
is.
But it was a really important element, but they couldn't do anything with it. It was too unstable. But now something happened 8 months ago that now it has 8. And now it's a foundation of the new universe, is this whatever this thing was. But then it kind of goes on and it starts introducing the rest of the team, which is mostly the Mighty Avengers. But he and Captain Marvel's in this team for some reason too. But they show up and they confront Galactus, but not so much confront him, but say, we're here to help you. And it's going to, like, you're guessing they're going to come up with a solution for his need to eat planets. So it was interesting. I'll give it that. It was interesting.
Giant Mentos.
Art on that was really good. That was Ken Rockefeller art, who was very good. All new different Avengers. Nobody else read all new, all different Avengers. The keystone of the new book.
7's nitrogen.
I don't remember. It's not important, but it's just trying to say the world has actually changed post. It had 7 things, which made it not fun, but now it has 8, so it's solid.
That's what a science.
Go grab
involved.
It off the shelf. You read it.
8's oxygen, so that
We used to read Avengers, yeah. So we're going to do something all new and all different.
So all new, all different Avengers, which I was worried because of the team. Stuff. The team didn't scream to me all new, all different. It screamed to me new Avengers because it's a bunch of people who don't know how to use their powers.
Yeah, you said that. I agree. Like,
well, you have Kid Nova, Ms. Marvel, Lady Thor, Miles Morales.
And that was the idea behind New Avengers to begin with, that they formed a new team.
Well, the only ones that were in it. It was Falcon was fighting somebody, and then Iron Man came to help.
That's right.
And they both basically got their butts handed to him. The thing that made me mad, or not mad, that I didn't like, is that the big bad is a Chitauri. And I just went, Chitauris aren't real, they're for the movie. I don't want Chitauris in my Avengers books. You couldn't
it's like
find...
when you get peanut butter in your chocolate and chocolate
well,
in your
I'm just,
peanut
just,
butter.
You couldn't find a villain in their out. Long history really to have him here. Instead, he's now this Chitauri warrior. So it was fine other than that. Keep your movies out of my books. And then it had a backup story, which was Kid Nova and Ms. Marvel meeting for the first time and both kind of being embarrassed and stuff. And I'm like, okay. So it was okay. The first part I thought was good. Other than I didn't like the bad guy. Last Sons of America was very interesting. This is one from Boom, from a new creator. I do not remember who did it. But the basic idea is some bioweapon has been released in America, and it effectually has sterilized everyone. So no new children can be born in America. So basically they're going to Central America and other countries to get children to continue on their families and their lineage. Well, so people, you know, it's devolved to the point, it's following these two guys who are going, trying to buy children from families, you know, like up, not seedily, but saying, hey, there's a need for children. You're in a tough situation. We can give your daughter a better life. And here's money to do that. She'll be going to a better place, type of thing.
Philip Kennedy Johnson.
Okay. Philip Kennedy Johnson.
Matthew Dow Smith.
Matthew Dow Smith. I've seen the art before, but it's a new writer. And it was very interesting. The one guy is a little person. The one brother is a little person with some deformities on his face and stuff. And the problem they're having is that people are also just going down and stealing kids now. That's become a big market. And they're going down to trying to get this one girl, and the family backs out at the end. They're like, oh, we're so screwed. Yeah, but they would have had to pay the local warlord money to get the kid anyway, and maybe it wasn't worth it and stuff. And then right at the very end, this little girl comes up. Says, you know, take me with you. I want to go. Well, it turns out it's the warlord's daughter.
Did they bring up in the book like the idea of adoption? Anyways,
They're getting kids for the adoption agencies.
So are they just that's like, what they don't have enough kids anymore? Sounds interesting.
So it was interesting. And let's see, Web Warriors was fine, much lighter, very much continuing on the Spider-Verse team. It just as you're reading it going and they're talking about all these different worlds, but like Captain Britain, Spider-Man can't go back to his world because it's been destroyed, but Spider-Gwen's world's still there, and all these
The worlds affected by the incursions?
No, and that's what made it very confusing.
See, a consistency. You know? It just, the idea that there was an incursion that destroyed the idea of the
it Captain destroyed them all, and that
an
was
incursion
the last
destroyed
two.
That
yeah.
one, and they kept playing that up, and then finally they're not going to stick to that.
Oh, you have it. Okay, I can chime in.
Okay,
was the Web Warriors an all ages book?
No, it's not from the cartoon. Mm-mm.
See, I feel like they're trying to get that audience.
That's why they named it that way.
Yeah, it just seems very.
It's definitely lighter, but it's, you know, it's Spider Pig and it's Indian Spider Man and that group.
Couldn't they have just called it
Spider-Ham? Isn't it Spider Ham? Spider Pig was from the Simpsons.
I know, you know what I meant. You know exactly what I meant, though, didn't you?
Well, they called themselves during Spider Verse.
Now he's called Harry Plopper.
During Spider Verse, at one point, one of them says, "We're the Web Warriors," and they're like, "What? No, we're not going to go by that name."
Well, they are because that guy, the Master of the Web, is still there. Scuba Steve, who killed... I still don't understand that. Moreland. Scuba Steve was the other Scuba Steve.
They kind of ruined that.
So it was okay, but yeah, it's for the hardcore Spider fans. And then the last one, I think Josh is going to chime in on, is Superman American Alien.
I love this book.
You know what? So maybe I was wrong. When I read the preview of it, and I was just on PDFs, it was just kind of like... There just didn't seem to be any meat. I liked the idea. I liked where it was going with the fact of him growing up as an alien. What I didn't like was, oh, look, he's floating again. Oh, it's Superboy trying to learn how to fly. I just felt that I feel like I've seen that before. That was the only thing I didn't like.
They've told his origin over and over again. Right. But I feel like this gave it more of an impact. Like, it made it more of an emotional story. Yeah. Yeah. And that's... I'll be honest. When I read the previous verse, I didn't really have any interest until I saw the reviews on Wednesday that got my interest peaked and decided to pick it up. And each issue is going to focus on a key point in his life.
And
that
I'm looking forward to more.
Yeah, but that made him who he is.
Where it was funny the first time he floated, didn't know what to do. The third time, it was like, move on.
But I think what was good is that it's not focusing on these, you know, events where he is inadvertently caused destruction. The thing he's trying to figure out is he's floating and he doesn't know how to get down.
Right. No, I get it.
And, that little twist is what made it more interesting to me. And, you know, like when he kind of just, shot up because he got excited because he's, you know, sitting next to Lana and he's feeling that, you know,
just
yeah, and there were some neat, there was some neat points where it's like, it's I want to say it was almost like 50s communist alien type mm-hmm. thing.
Okay,
and that's the feeling, and he's going, well, wait a minute, oh my gosh, I'm an alien. What if they find out I'm an alien?
Yeah,
you know, and his actual real fear of that. That's where I when I that part I really enjoyed
is,
the learning to fly. I did not enjoy that.
Yeah,
that's all. That was the only thing as I was reading it in the PDF form. I did not.
Yeah, like I didn't mind the learning to fly stuff. What I didn't care for was how open his parents were to kind of like sharing the secret, like with the one mm-hmm. neighbor who the dad like went and got him to help out. Whatever Clark was kind of floating in the air, but
yeah. But overall, I like really, where it's going. What, I think the idea of it and the stuff coming
what
forward.
What Superman is it supposed to be? Like any? Does it make any differences? It's not. It does. Like I mean, we don't know too much about
at this point.
Superman,
at this point, it's
yeah,
not.
Parents
it's and, not pigeonholed to a certain.
Okay,
Superman.
So it doesn't really make any difference.
Yeah, but it was. I thought
definitely
it was
not
the best,
Red Son.
I thought it was the best Superman story I've read in a while.
Yeah,
it felt the most like
yeah.
Superman, a Superman story.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, that's all I got. Okay. I convinced Josh to get Survivor's Club. Apparently.
I'll check out the first issue.
I've twisted his arm.
This will determine if I buy the trade, I guess. Okay. And Joe Hill has a quote in the front. I love Lock and Key. So.
Okay. So.
What's coming out next week, Colin?
Nothing. So, next week is
huge. Huge.
It was
okay,
huge.
Yeah.
We got all new Wolverine 2, Angela 2, Archie 4.
That right there will stop me from buying a lot of these new Marvel books. The whole every other week thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
That's one thing at this point when there
especially
was a relaunch.
Star Wars.
I made a conscious decision. If it is shipping every other week, I'm not gonna entertain it.
It's getting old.
Art Ops 2. I did read Art Ops, but I know you guys talked about it. That was a weird book.
I didn't read it.
That was a really weird book. Somebody talked about it.
I think Rich might have.
That might have been. Okay. Batman Robin Eternal 8. My gosh, that's 8 straight weeks. How do they schedule this stuff?
You can't schedule
you
this.
You can't schedule that. Batman.
It's dumb luck.
Batman animated series figures. We have Bane, Mad Hatter, Nightwing, and Scarecrow coming next week. Arkham Knight, Catwoman.
Do you think Bane can fit in the Batmobile with another character?
Probably not. The Batman Endgame Director's Cut, number one. Black Magic, number two. Anybody else read Black Magic?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Carnage, number two, that I just talked about.
Exactly.
Chewbacca, number four, which just came out last week. Yeah, so boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
Dark Knight 3, Master Race, number one. There's a little bit of buzz about this one.
Library time.
Yep.
Jerks. Darth Vader 13, following up with the... It's a Vader down. I can tell it's Vader down. See? VD... got the DC Comics Bombshells Joker and Harley Quinn statue. Somebody's getting his Dexstar. Fight Club 2, number 7, which I did not realize was ending at 10. I didn't know how long it was going, but apparently this one's ending at 10. Then we also have the Gotham City Garage Harley Quinn statue coming next week.
That's not the one with the sidecar.
No, that one's an extra, like, $100 or something. Those are coming.
Sidecar?
Yeah, it's a lot more. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Ivar Time Walker 11. I only highlight that for you, Josh. Jack number one is the next. That's the next Vertigo one, where the guy gets a pill, and it makes him like a superhero. It's like that TV show,
Limitless.
Yeah, but being Vertigo, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm.
You shouldn't be
gonna pick that one.
Jupiter Circle Volume 2, number one. Justice League of America, number five.
For those of you that can't see through the little holes in your speaker, yeah. Colin gave it the thumbs up.
Yeah, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur number one, because you asked for it.
Woo!
Peanuts Snoopy Special number
Super
one.
Special.
That one, it is getting light. That one's got that. That one's gonna, I think, do well. Previews, new previews next week. Ringside number one, which is from my friend Joe Keating. It's a, I think I talked about before, where it's the retired wrestler having to come back to because his. Former partner has run afoul of some bad guys, so he's having to get involved.
I think this sounds really interesting.
Saga number 31, finally back after a hiatus. Silk number one. I know you're excited about that, Adam.
Yeah.
It's been so long since we had a Silk number one. Now, I enjoyed this. I highlighted two of these only because I found it funny, but you have Spider-Gwen trade paperback volume 0, Most Wanted, and you also have Wolverine Old Man Logan trade paperback volume 0. And it's just like, Wow. So basically, well, the Old Man Logan is just saying that, you know, that's a precursor to the new series. But Spider-Gwen basically says, yeah, we kind of accidentally came out with these other books, and now we're really starting with this new stuff. Superman, Lois, and Clark, number two. I really like number one. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, number two. That's for you, Pat.
Yep.
This one also is for you. Venom Space Knight, number one. Actually, that's it. Last one I have is that Wolverine Old Man Logan. So, yeah, I'll be posting stuff on the website, which will also automatically get posted on Facebook and Twitter.
Josh will be posting stuff on the website anyway.
Just about what's going on next weekend. So as soon as I know, I will let you know. It's a dangerous balance because when I was with New Dimension, they'd always post their Black Friday sale like 3 weeks out,
and I just remember going,
"Why would you post your huge markdown sale that early? You're killing your sales the weekend before." So
here's the thing: though. Everybody knows it's coming,
right?
So, I mean, okay, I may not know exactly what you're going to put on sale, but I know I'm not going
to
make a
big purchase. No, but if we're to say 25% off all statues, how many statues would I sell this weekend? Probably none. You know, so it's just, it's a balance. I'm not trying to hold it back from you guys.
You sell the ones that people have already pre-ordered.
Well, yeah, those are never on sale.
Does it make any difference if you're told earlier than that?
Well, no, but then you would wait.
Like
Why would you even?
I don't know. But at the same time,
people have been here for a while.
They know what's happening. Yeah.
I know I wouldn't buy a statue today because probably next week there would be some new statues.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
Or 12 days of Christmas.
Yes.
Or Festivus.
Festivus. So I'll be posting that stuff on. We do have the signing next Wednesday, but I expect next Wednesday to be busy. Ton of stuff coming, and then it's always busy because people coming back from school, from out of town, in from out of town visiting stuff. So that Wednesday before Thanksgiving normally is a little chaotic, which is fun.
And come on, even if you don't know the guy or the book, come on down.
Yeah, please come down and just say hi.
Say hi, hang out.
Yeah,
see some of your peers, talk about comics.
Yeah,
have a good time.
We'll be here podcasting. So
yeah, if you want to stick around, we'll podcast after.
More than welcome.
Can't commit. We're gonna go till 10:30 at night.
Pat's bringing beer next week.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, I'll probably get yelled at. Pat's bringing beer? Yeah. What? I didn't know that. I didn't know that either
because I don't drink beer, so that's going to be a problem.
So if you want to reach me, you can, again, always find me at the store. Website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is PittsburghComics.com. Twitter is PGH Comics because I couldn't fit Pittsburgh Comics. It's true. I don't.
You get a bit of the story every time you talk about this.
Yes. That's about it.
It's someone's first podcast, Adam.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. Every podcast.
Yeah. You're the one that made the rules.
I didn't make that rule.
You did.
Just say your damn catchphrase, Adam.
What?
That was him.
You made the rule? That's true.
Stan Lee made the rule.
Yeah, yes. It was Pat after Stan Lee.
Just one total side comment, but I liked Stan Lee on Facebook, so his thing keeps posting stuff, and it's always about DC TV shows.
Yeah.
Just kind of funny. It is. Because I got an email from a mom.
Or things that you're just like, why would Stan Lee be watching
this? Well, it's funny. I also, yesterday, I got an email from a mom for a Christmas present. Her son wants a book signed by Stan Lee, but only one that he actually wrote. I'm like, and she said, well, I understand he stopped writing in the 90s. And I responded back. I said, no, he stopped writing in the early 70s, so good luck.
Well, yeah, you can find it, but it's going to cost you.
Yeah. Just the book alone, let alone signed. Yeah. So.
She must love her child.
Adam. I think she doesn't understand what she's getting. Oh. She's thinking like $20. I don't know. I don't know for a fact. But
That's a podcast? Are you sure?
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I was just waiting for everybody.
You got to say it more confidently.
That's a podcast.
There we go. We'll talk to you next week. Come on out for all the fun. See ya.